Blog Talk Radio.
Changes in our lives, and I feel like giving a call in here and give us a reading, or get a reading, that things would really kick and pick up for a lot of people. So we need to just check out and look at things that are going on. So let me see here. Okay, what I was going to do was I was sort of looking at some things that I was focusing on. I tell everybody the idea of calling in here and getting a reading, what you need to do is call 646-721-9031. Again, the number is 646-721-9031. And if you want to call me for a private reading, that number is 740-500-8863. Or you can contact me through my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. And it's actually in the chat room, too, as well, if you want to check up and pick it up on it. We'll be putting it in there periodically. So we'll sort of look at situations and people are trying to get... I guess it was the ideal concept we're trying to help people understand the idea of following your heart, what actually happened in your life when you start doing that. And the idea of following your heart is the idea to follow truth. What is the truth? And when you follow your heart, love, being put in the stream of love, is the idea of realizing all your thought process will be anchored because of the truth that you see and feel and know. So it's sort of a situation like that, and a truth ideal is like this one here was basically saying the ideal of original sin is totally false. That a God of love and infinite wisdom would tempt man is absurd and is not in keeping with the nature of God. The high religion has nothing to do with sin, only the spiritual development of man. Another one is each individual is a special, unique individualization of God with the power of choice. Therefore, we create our own world with our minds. Thought is creative. Thinking controls all action. The law of being says that consciousness must outpicture itself. Other truth ideals that are growing with the race mind here include man is God life and expression, and this life cannot contain disease. God is our perfect health, and as we realize this truth, it will be reflected in our bodies. The abundant life for each individual is the will of God. God is the source of all prosperity and is forever providing us with whatever we need in abundant measure. Meditation is the way of entering into the kingdom. Meditation is the way of entering the inner kingdom and can be a dynamic, life-changing experience. Man is immortal and has eternal life. There is no death, simply a passing from one plane of life to another. Reincarnation is an absolute certainty. No religious authority should ever stand between man and his consciousness of God. The voice of God within speaks directly to each individual. Evil exists only in our minds. It is a human creation, which Jesus told us not to resist. When we achieve a consciousness of truth, evil disappears in our lives. It is not real, but can appear real if we fight it. The inspired, infallible Word of God is the Christ indwelling each individual. The Bible was not intended to be interpreted literally in all its parts. It must be read through the heart and interpreted through the Spirit. And, of course, these are certain things of looking at situations and looking at what we're looking at. But, you know, when we sit here and look at the situations of all the things that are coming across, of what, why should we follow our heart, is the idea of realizing what is illumination and what is being illuminated, which is simply looking at it and saying the truth. The truth is being illuminated. What are we going to do about this situation, you know? All there is God, the one presence and power of the universe. All-loving, all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful. Every visible thing is an expression of God. All is God in different degrees of manifestation. So when you sit and look at the situation, what are we saying here? Let go and follow. Let go, let go, let go. You know, the super consciousness does exist. Are you going to let it work for you or work against you? You know? And that's the one thing we really want to put into, bring out in the light. Bring it out into the light and say, hey, this is what's going on. This, that, and the other. What are you going to do? To realize that your thinking and your focus and your feelings and that kind of stuff actually manifest the things or even the ideal of your world. You understand it's not the ideal, like, oh, I'm a bad person for creating all those things. It's the ideal of stepping back and realizing that, yes, you did create those things. Take responsibility for your life. Take 100% responsibility, accountability for your life, and realize that all the decisions and everything that's ever happened in your life, it was because of a decision you made that brought you to this point. All right? So it's like the idea, we were sitting there looking at some things and focusing on the angels themselves. Basically, you have a super consciousness, which is your natural, which is your spiritual nature. And the law and emanating from this consciousness of truth moves constantly through the vibration field of your mind. There it takes on your now identity and reproduces this consciousness in your body and affairs. When your thoughts, beliefs, and feelings are in tune with your truth center, there is a mind of one vibration. That is the supermind of men, where nothing is impossible. So it's like the ideal. First of all, take accountability for your life, and then realize, by following your heart, nothing is impossible. And if you're in a situation, like we said, people talk about, people can only deal so much, okay? Think about that. What are you dealing with? These are things that you've basically taken the responsibility to think that you need to take on and deal with. But you sit and look to receptive men and women, new vibrations of health, prosperity, fulfillment, loving relationships, safety, protection, order, harmony being, perhaps ever so faintly as I can be well, strong, these thoughts are coming into your mind. The idea of a family relationship restored, or a relationship being restored, even after all the chaos and all the things. I mean, I've been in certain situations too where if I would have sit there and looked at the illusion that was unfolding of a person who's attacking me, which has happened several times, it's the idea of going back over the situations and from a loving heart to realize that they're not attacking you, they're just acting out whatever's going on in their lives at the moment that they don't want to deal with. You're just taking it upon yourself and saying, well, they're attacking me. No, they're not attacking you. Sit there and say to yourself, I and my Father are one. Nothing can touch me. Nothing can come to me except through the Father. That means through you too. So therefore, you're allowing things to come into your life. I am Christ. Speaking to you now, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But it was like a way of sitting and looking at people, and like Jesus came back to remind us of who we were, where we came from. We all have images of Adam after the fall from grace. We don't think about the image before, which is, that's who we were. That's who we are. Okay? So we sort of look at the situation and say, what is it? You know, people talk about how can I change my life? I think if you really look at those situations, like we said before last year when we did a show on change your thinking, change your life. And it might be, and people are thinking to themselves, is it really that easy? Yes, it's that easy. Just say to yourself, I have the power within me to realize the fulfillment of each one of my desires. Through the love, wisdom, and power of my supermind, I have the ability to bring about any necessary change in my body or affairs. I believe in my wonderful inner self. And go from that point and start writing down those desires. What do you want? And then, before we look at the situation, go, what do you desire in life? You must focus your thoughts on what you really want. And then we sit there and say, you must make a definite decision to accept the fulfillment of your desires, which means when that manifestation is coming to pass, and you know and you feel like you're being drawn and you're being drawn down a path, and you just know it's your heart's desires. And then you turn around and say, no, I don't want to go down that path. Ooh, I almost followed my heart and went down that path. What the heck was I thinking? I'm thinking myself, what are you thinking? I say at that moment, you're not. You're being pulled into a realm of materiality. People around you are probably saying it, the world. And when I say people around you, it could be the world. It doesn't have to be just friends. But usually that's what it taps into, because your fears will attract everything to you too, as well as your positive thinking will attract everything to you. Think about that. And basically the situation, your desires cannot be fulfilled in the outer world of experience in form unless you have the consciousness or mental equivalence for them. If you're sitting there telling yourself, you're listening to your guides and angels, and you're avoiding a loving situation, because you're scared of losing something, and you said any idea, let's just put it down to simple terms. If you are making decisions out of fear, then you're not listening to your guides and angels and going in the right direction. You know, the idea of making decisions in fear of what you might lose, or what people will think, or what will happen, or whatever it is, you're making a grave mistake. And you're lying to yourself. If you think you're listening to your angels and guides, that is a true fact. That when you follow your heart, you will know beyond the shadow of a doubt the fulfillment of your desires. The you'll know exactly what you want in life. So ask yourself at this moment, have you given up something? You sit there and admit it to yourself. Somebody said something to you, even to the point of saying, follow your heart. And you decided to go and say, ooh, I'm not going to go down that way. If I go that way, then I'm going to ruin my life. Not realizing at that moment, you never ruin your life. And I've heard a lot of people ask me that question. Well, all this stuff happened, or this person did this and ruined my life. Or I ran a phone bill up, and that bill ruined my life. Then you should take a look at your life. Go back. And like I said before, the past is gone, but take yourself back to a point in your life where a similar thing happened. And now realize one thing. You were on the other side. In the same predicament again, making a decision. And if you look around you, and the people that are who were there for the first mistake are still around you at this moment, maybe that's the reason why you made a mistake too as well. So there, you start seeing things through the light of truth and start thinking to yourself, maybe the ideal of me putting myself in these predicaments is the ideal of pleasing everybody else, because it sure ain't pleasing me. And look at yourself and ask yourself in the situation that, you know, you put yourself in a situation where you were just so happy and you let a fear make you make a decision to walk away from it. You can't look at it any other way. That fear was what motivated you to walk away, not the person or situation or the thing that you were in. It was your own fears. And when you think about that, and we can go back on our lives and say, oh, look at all the things we missed. No, we go back on our lives and look at those situations that brought us to this point of making a big change, but not to let that happen again. And it can definitely be that way constantly, continuously. Happy, 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 happy. Okay? So we look at the situation, the first step in building a mental equivalence. So that's one thing we got to look at the situation here is the desires. Your desires cannot be fulfilled in the outer world of experience and form unless you have the consciousness or the mental equivalence for them. So to give you something to think about, the first step in building a mental equivalence is to recognize that divine ideal corresponding to your desire already exists in your superconsciousness. This is the intelligible awareness. But intelligent awareness alone does not have sufficient power to shape the outer picture. Your feeling nature must also be brought into play. When the two are combined, a powerful reaction takes place in the subject phase of mind, setting up a vibration that corresponds to the spiritual equivalent of fulfillment in your superconsciousness. Which basically, if you sit and look at the situation, what it's saying is, if you follow your heart, the mind will follow. Okay? The fusion of mind and heart alone, along the lines of the particular desire of fulfillment, is protected from thoughts to the cornet, okay? If it's a contradiction, if you're thinking of focusing on, you think you have your mind and heart together, and you're still, like I call it a contradiction, with a developing into a conviction. Okay, so if you sit and look at the situation like this and say, okay, the fusion of mind and heart along the lines of a particular desire and fulfillment. Basically, if those thoughts are true, and you maintain, like with affirmations and meditation, though just that, mind and heart together, then what you're going to develop is going to develop into a conviction, that the conviction or mental equivalence becomes the pattern through which the creative energy of mind flows or radiates. As this energy, light, power, substance passes through the pattern, it takes on all the attributes of the pattern and goes forth into the outer world to manifest, responding to circumstances, experiences, and forms into reality. So therefore, that's what we're talking about. But like we always sit here and say, you can look at the situation, develop that subjective conviction. You can do that through contemplative meditation, affirmations, and the proper use of your power of imagination, which means don't let your imagination when they say don't let your imagination get away with get away from you, it's not in the negative sense. It's in the good sense of realizing there are no limitations. Like I was saying before, I read this at the church. It said, don't tell me the sky is the limit when there's footprints on the moon, which means there is no limit. So therefore, think in those terms. Don't think in any kind of terms of limitations. All you're going to do is attract situations that are limiting. You don't want that. So be filled with the sense of thankfulness and gratitude that your desires are already fulfilled. They are in mind, and that they will come forth into visible and the visibility at the right time and in the right way. And that's what we also want, too. We want things to materialize in the right way, in the right time. So therefore, we'll all be on the same page. Now, then you go to the next one and say, and then you're going to be active. If you just sit around and wait for your good to fall into your lap may be far removed from the point of contact and channel that the power has selected specifically for the outpouring of your good, which means basically be in the right place to receive. So also listen to your guidance as it tells you which way you need to go. If you're in a situation and looking for a relationship and you get this really strong impression you should go to Starbucks at a certain time and just sit and get some coffee and see what happens, then follow them. Because what they're doing is they're saying, okay, we sit down and we got the fusion of mind and heart. We have the desire. We know what we're doing here. We've created a conviction to back up. So we have the energy to actually manifest it into reality. Now what we need to do is follow the guidance that takes us down that road to actually manifestation coming into form, which you are the vehicle for that to happen. So take it to that one whole thing, and you want to be fulfilled. The pattern of fulfillment begins. So if you think that you can't be fulfilled, that's the pattern you're working through, so you don't want to do that. What you want to do is have a pattern of fulfillment. So you want to make sure all these convictions that you've got are convictions in a positive sense, because people have a lot of convictions, you know. My family's got hereditary disease, conviction. You see how it works here? Mind and heart are not. It's logic. And we're taking just that soul energy and, you know, the situation of a negative thought, of focusing on the head, focusing on reality, focus on the ego, and we're keeping the heart out of the situation because we're scared it might take us where we don't want to go, not realizing we've already created some really bad situations because of that thinking. So what we're trying to do is change it to where you have mind and heart together. Okay? Focus on those. Focus on your desires, not what you are scared of. And in the process of doing that, you'll be okay. And then we sit here and look at the situation, and I mean, some people have to take it one step further and have the courage and stand up for your beliefs. I mean, in your particular situations in your life, what you're doing, you need to act upon your convictions, even if others disagree. See, that's one thing about friends and family, I kind of said, when they start disagreeing with you on what you know you need to do, and then you fall victim to that and you go their direction, you've taken yourself away from what you were actually wanting in the first place. And then you want to sit there and complain because you don't have anything, or you're complaining about, and I always tell people, because we sit here and look at the book, and for example, how the body reflects the mind. Okay, if you're starting to focus into lack of limitation. For example, your subconscious patterns of anger and hostility, they may manifest, okay? This is what they're going to manifest. Appendicitis, arthritis, boils, cold sores, constipation, heart problems, high blood pressure, indigestion, inflammation, confusion, frustration, manifest into cold, flu, headaches. And this is just the idea. We're suppressing feelings that we should be expressing. And if you're in any kind of situation, look at these things, fear. Fear, there's one, fear. Actually is a process of causing accidents, asthma, flu, headache, heart problems, and indigestion. So if you focus on indigestion and heart and headaches, what do you fear? And if you're in the process, let's say a guy or a situation or a girl, relationships or work or that kind of stuff, you look at the situation and you go, at that moment, ask yourself, that thing or person, I have a fear. Is it about them or is it about just the fear itself that's pushing you, that you're pushing those people away? And then ask yourself, do I have heart problems or indigestion? That's a pure sign of what's going on. We got grief and depression can cause cancer, colds, and gallstones, guilt and self-condemnation, back trouble, cancer, hay fever, lack and limitation, amnesia, asthma, kidney problems. And then they were sitting there talking about the idea of old age concerns, okay? And I will sit there and say to everybody out there, when you meet somebody and you fall in love with them, head over heels, and you use the excuse the person's either too old or too young, but the experience itself happened, then you're not looking at the experience or the person or what you're in. You're thinking about mass consciousness and how they're going to perceive it. What you're doing is you're killing something that you manifested. So therefore, it's like you're manifesting these things in reality, and then you turn around in reality and trying to denounce them because of what people are thinking. Your family, everybody around the whole situation. So what are you going to do? Resentment and unforgiveness, arthritis, cancer, heart problems, tension, stress, cold sores, colds, constipation, headaches, high blood pressure. You know, when you look at these situations, what are you going to do? Simply take it one step further and counteract the whole thing and say, my life is God's life, and God cannot be sick. Through the healing concerns of love flowing from the Christ within, I am now whole and complete. I believe that my body is the outpicturing of a divine ideal, an expression of the perfect pattern within, and therefore I'm whole and in perfect health. And if you're a person who's trying to manifest more money and stuff, and we sit there and say wealth into your life, what you need to do is focus on those things, too, and realize what's causing it. Maybe it's just the idea of changing your thoughts. So just throw some things out there and say, I'm not content with just getting by. I choose the total freedom of lavish abundance. I recognize the divine substance as the source of my abundance, and it is manifesting for me now. I am rich and free as I was created to be. And for people out there having a tough time with success, say to yourself, I am a success. I allow myself to be successful. And any kind of information you can stick in there, it's good, especially if you feel like it's working with you, okay? And look at the situation, say, I choose to believe that I am more than human. I choose to believe that I am a spiritual being created in the image and likeness of God. I choose to believe that the infinite presence and power of the universe has individualized as me, as the reality of me, as my true nature. I believe that all that the Father is, I am, and all that the Father has is mine. I believe that the I am of God, of me is God in expression, a consciousness of power and dominion. I believe that I am the knowledge of truth. Therefore, I am the faith of God made manifest. I am faith. I know that God knows my every need and that it is his good pleasure to restore the lost years of the locusts, to straighten out every good crooked place, to perfect all that concerns me, and to make all things new in my life. I know that He has already done this by giving me the gift of himself, which is my all-sufficiency. I know that through this spiritual treatment of mine, my belief in all that is good and true is entering my subconscious mind, where it is being clothed with spiritual power, substance, life, and intelligence. Because I am faith, I have faith. And I feel the spiritual energy of faith throughout my being now. I will care for my faith, feeding it with the thoughts of the kingdom, of the power, and the glory. And my heart, it will grow strong and vibrant and powerful. It will move quickly to unite with its true self, the spirit of truth, my very own superconsciousness. I will then behold myself as I am in truth, the Christ, Son of the living God, and it is so. So when you look at the situation of changing your thoughts, you know, we take this situation and we change things. You know, we go from, for example, we, you know, like thoughts of lack, limitation, failure, futility, loneliness, or illness, you must discipline it immediately and change it to the point of actually just thinking about what the opposite of those are and then bringing them into what? Form. It's easy to do these things. It really is. Just think about the things about yourself. Focus on the Christ truth within. Faith is the thinking center in your mind. It's there. All right? It's energy waves flowing through the brain consciously, continuously. And if you are not in control, you're not focusing on the one thing that you really want to be focusing on, then it's going to manifest anything and everything it will. So we want to change those things around, don't we? Let's see. It's just the idea of something changing everything. Faith has a very close affinity with three other power centers, strength, wisdom, and love. And when it begins to interact with these particular forms, the expression of consciousness is greatly increased. So you say to yourself, come faith, follow me. It is upon you that I will build my spiritual consciousness. You shall be a rock, and the firmness of my solid belief in the Christ truth shall be the foundation for my consciousness and mastery. Through the activity of my knowingness, I shall achieve. I'm sorry. Through the activity of your knowingness, I shall achieve the dominion that is my birthright. Dominion is your birthright, which means you have the power. I shall achieve dominion that is my birthright. You will fill my mind with rich, abiding substance. You will fill my thoughts with the presence of God. You will fill my emotions with the love of God. You will fill my words with the power of God. You will fill my actions with the energy of God so that nothing shall be impossible to me. My faith, the spirit of living faith within me, is strong and wise and loving. And it now assists me in calling forth the powers of strength, wisdom, and love. I place my faith in the strength that I am. Come forth, strength. I call you into action. I place my faith in the wisdom that I am. Come forth, wisdom, into perfect expression. I place my faith in the love that I am. Come forth, love, and radiate forever throughout my being. Through the activity of faith, strength, wisdom, and love, I now embark on a journey toward Christhood, and it is so. And when we start talking about the idea of embarking on a journey toward Christhood, is the idea of realizing who you are, and the idea of staying the Son of God. It's like this, like looking at the sons and daughters of God, which is the idea of being created in the perfect form, which is the idea of being descended from Adam and Eve. So we consider and use it all kinds of forms. We consider and talk to ourselves and say, if your needs are financial, meditate on these words until you become real. Until it becomes real to you. Sorry. When it becomes real to you. I place my faith in the Christ mind within, knowing that it is ever now interpreting itself as my abundant supply. It moves easily through my faith to manifest as my all sufficiency. I see my desires being fulfilled quickly and in peace, and it is done. If your body requires healing, you know, we've thought about healing before, but we also should go a little step further and talk about self-healing, and just say to yourself, I place my faith in the Christ mind within, knowing that it is ever now erasing every pattern of disease in my subconscious mind and restoring the patterns of perfect health. My faith opens the way for the healing work of spirit, and I'm healed. I see this truth. I feel it. Therefore, it is done. And you can take the same kind of formations yourself if you want and make it. Like if you want to sit here and focus on relationships or whatever it is, and you focus on those things. But it's one of those things where you sit here and look at the situation. And I'm actually getting a lot of information I'm picking up here by a guy. This is another book by John Randolph Price called The Super Beings, Overcoming Limitations to the Power of the Mind. And on the back here it says, when man comes to himself and comprehends the fact that he is the Son of God and knows that in him lie all the powers of God are your powers, okay? Like you sit and look at the situation and focus on those suckers. Focus on the contemplation, each power center within you for several minutes. Just focus on those things. And they actually got them right here. The power centers are basically old faith, awake. I now place my faith in the power of faith that I am. I am faith. Old strength, awake. I now place my faith in the power of strength that I am. I am strength. O wisdom, awake. I now place my faith in the power of wisdom that I am. I am wisdom. O love, awake. I now place my faith in the power of love that I am. I am love. O will, awake. I now place my faith in the power of will that I am. I am will. O authority, awake. I now place my faith in the power of authority that I am. I am authority. O understanding, awake. I now place my faith in the power of understanding that I am. I am understanding. O enthusiasm, awake. I now place my faith in the power of enthusiasm that I am. I am enthusiasm. O imagination, awake. I now place my faith in the power of imagination that I am. I am imagination. O order, awake. I now place my faith in the power of order that I am. I am order. O forgiveness, awake. I now place my faith in the power of forgiveness that I am. I am forgiveness. O life, awake. I now place my faith in the power of life that I am. I am life. I now place my faith in the truth. I know that I am a son or daughter of God, created in the image and likeness of the Father. And I am now consciously aware, I am continually aware of who and what I am. I have come to myself, and I now comprehend the fact that I am a son of God. Like I said before, I am a son or daughter of God, and I know that in myself lie all the powers of God. I am a mastermind, and all the elements hear my voice and gladly do my will. Fear and unbelief, which have bound my will, have been caught and turned aside. Now my will knows no bounds, and I have but to speak, and it is done, and it is so. So you take those things yourself, and you look at the situation. Those are the power centers, and those are the things that once you realize the power, the dominion that you have, then you'll realize exactly what you can do, which is pretty much unlimited. So we look at those situations, okay? Once you move into that point in consciousness where you pass the anxiety stages of need, your only responsibility will be to manage the power of faith, to see that this holy helper stays on the job to keep the channel open. He shall be the lamp of the Lord, the instrument through which the power flows. So as quickly as you can, turn your attention from the need of the outer world to the inner force of faith, and let your other superpowers unite in perfect harmony. So you see how it works. The idea of what happens when you follow your heart. Okay. And we're going to throw out one more card, and then we're going to go right to the calls, okay? So if you want to give us a call here at 646-721-9031, we will answer any questions that you want. Also, the chat room, if you're in the chat room, you want to ask a question, we will answer any kind of questions you want in the chat room, too, as well. So just let us have a thing going on here, and I will tell you something. I'm having a lot of time focusing here and that kind of stuff, but really putting it out there to you. So give us a call here at 646-721-9031. If you want to call me for a private reading after the show or make a schedule one, give us a call at 740-500-8863. Or go to our website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. And get back here, and I'm going to pull out one more card. Here we go. The card is Archangel Seraphim, and the card is gentleness. Be very gentle with yourself at this time. Surround yourself with gentle people, situations, and environments. Seraphim wishes to help you feel peaceful and centered, and he strongly advises that you begin by listening to gentle music. Play it wherever you go. Talk quietly and engage in slow, rhythmic movements such as swaying to the music or a gentle yoga session. Don't engage in battles at this time. Instead, retreat from conflict where you revive your spirit and become even stronger. Delay decision making at this time. You'll know exactly what to do when you emerge from your gentle retreat. So it's one of those things of focusing on meditation too as well. So let's go on to our first caller. Here. Area code 443. Welcome to the show, and what's your name? Area code 443. Turn off the vacuum cleaner and talk to us.
That's good. Hi.
How are you?
It's Journeyman.
Yeah, this is Journeyman. How are you?
Hi, Journeyman. I apologize. We've been waiting. You've been listening, but we're like at the gas station. I'm actually calling on behalf of my cousin. She's going to talk to you in a moment. I just wanted to let you know this is her first reading.
Oh, okay, no problem.
Well, actually, I'm sorry. It's not her first reading. This is her second reading.
Okay.
And she had a relationship question, and it pertains to the heart, and it pertains to fear and all that stuff.
Okay, fear?
Yeah. Her name is Juanita. Here she comes. Hold on one second.
Juanita.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. How can we help you? What's your question?
I want to know the truth. Is my last relationship is really over?
Okay, well, the situation we're talking about here, your name is Juanita, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, when's your birthday?
March 26, 1986.
A lot of sixes in there, huh?
Yeah.
March 26, which means March 26 puts you in the situation of being Aries. Okay, and the person that we're talking about, first name and his birthday?
His first name is Leonard, and his last name is Burrell, and his is January the 21st.
January what?
21st.
Okay, January 21st. So he's on the cuff between Capricorn and, I'm not mistaken, Libra.
And Aquarius.
Huh? Yeah, you're
he's
right.
He's an Aquarius.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right, because that's right. Libra is actually September and October. Sorry. You're right. January. We're talking about January here. And you're right. It's Capricorn and Aquarius. Sorry. But it's actually pretty good, really, in the situation of relationships. When you look at the situation, Capricorn's an earth sign, and then we have Aries, who can be like, Aquarius. Aquarius is an air sign, which a lot of people, I've gotten arguments with people about that, because they say, Aquarius, isn't, you sure it's not a water sign? Well, I said, I read the book. So yes, I do know, it's an air sign. So we have earth and air, which actually, with the earth being a part of the air, it grounds that person, especially when it comes to relationships. As long as they do what air does, really, when it's on a good day, a nice little breeze will take you down the flow and you just feel great and content. That's the whole point of relying on those parts of yourself, of grounding yourself. And a lot of people look at situations of air can be flighty and that kind of stuff, but see, we have to look at the whole picture. And when you sit and look at the relationship that you're talking about, it's the ideal of focusing on the situation and what you want and what do you and your beliefs. Because somewhere down deep inside you, you're not really looking at that. Okay, do we have a full tank? Anyway, that's actually the keys making all that freaking noise as we start the car. Okay. Anyway, so I'm saying to you, you believe it's not over. Because you're still focusing and you're still picking up on him, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the situation and what you're feeling? I always say you should trust your feelings and your heart. And are you doing that?
I really think that it's not really over. I think he will be back because he had left his stuff over my house and I told him to come and get it. And from what I noticed with him, he'll leave stuff around, you know, just, you know, so he can come back because he has left stuff in my car.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I knew him for 11 years, and we didn't just get back together out of no ordinary. He was in prison for 6 years. We've been friends since high school, and as soon as he got out, he was looking for me, but I never talked to him ever since high school or whatever, which means he's been holding and trying to look for me and be with me for a while, and we just started going together in January of this year.
Okay. Where are you guys calling from, New York?
I'm in Maryland.
Oh, Maryland. Whereabouts in Maryland?
Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh, yeah, I see a grand jury in Baltimore.
Yeah.
I used to live in Maryland.
Baltimore County.
Yeah, I used to live in, Montgomery Village.
Okay.
Yeah, Montgomery Village, Rockville, Silver Spring. Used to go up and down 355 all the time. Shady Grove Road and Shady Grove Hospital. You know where they're at?
Well, what is it again?
Shady Grove Road, which comes off of 270.
I know where that is, Journeyman. This is her cousin. That's like near the D.C. area?
Yeah, it's actually just before you get to Silver Springs. Or Bethesda. It's like you go Shady Grove Road, and if you're going 355, and you'll pass, you'll go through Bethesda and then into Silver Spring.
Yeah, the train, the Metro, the D.C. Metro is
going up there. Yeah, I used to love going down to D.C. for the 4th of July on the Metro.
I was just there for art exhibit.
Oh, yeah, it was great to be there. I love going there.
Yeah, and Shady Grove is one of the stops that I always see on the train.
Oh, yeah, you go up to Shady Grove Road and you shoot up that one little place and cross up across the highway. You also got one at White Flint, one at, I think it's Bethesda, and then there's that one down on, Medical? I used to hate going up that escalator because it's almost like a mile and a half. I swear it is. It's one of the longest escalators I've ever seen in my life. But, yeah, you can tell everybody, too, on the Metro, during the rush hour, the prices go up. And then when rush hour's not going on, the prices go down. I've never been anywhere.
I believe it.
It's cool.
Area, though. It's a lot going on there in Silver Spring.
Yeah, also, remember one thing. If you go into a 7-Eleven, you hear that when you open the door. If you've been on the Metro, it's the same noise. It's the same. I'm telling you something. It's getting your attention. As the doors open up on the Metro, it goes. And now they've changed it. I guess the last time I was down there, it actually talks to you now. Doors are open.
Oh,
are we
wow.
really that stupid to do this kind of stuff?
I still get a lot of traffic.
Like, the door is open. Okay, thank you. You know, door's closed. Okay, I can lean on it. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's cool down there. I used to love going down to the freaking D.C., down to the zoo. But, is your friend still there? The Juanita, it's like, look at the situation you're talking about. Is the ideal following your heart? Is the ideal going in the direction you feel like you need to go in? Because it's almost like you're not going to give up on the situation. But they're also sitting there telling me that you should listen, too, on the situation, too, as well, okay? Really listen to what's really going on. Now, being friends is great, and going back and forth with the situation, and what I mean by listening is the ideal of being in the relationship. Like, we've all had these situations where we get into conversations with our significant other, and when there's certain things that we don't say, but we feel like we should have. It's the ideal of correcting that. That's what they mean by listening to your heart and say, okay, I got to say this. Yes, it's going to hurt that person's feelings, but this realistically walk back to the situation what hurt really is. And say, okay, when you hurt somebody, that means that what you have just said brings more truth than they're willing to admit. And that's why they hurt, okay? Now, I feel like in some sense of the word, there's kind of like hurt can be in many categories because you got hurt of a disappointment because you knew it was going to go somewhere and somebody walked away. And that hurt you because you were trying to figure out, okay, why did they do that? Because things were going great. Things were going good. In all kinds of sense of the word, we're talking about feelings. We're not talking about actions on top of the surface. We're talking about what's going on to the person where you know for a fact that certain things are stimulating both of them because of the way they're acting toward each other. And then they have a tendency one pulls away. That's probably usually a good situation. Then we have other hurt and pain where it's a realization that we know this wasn't supposed to go anywhere anyway. And then all the events fell into place and said, this is not supposed to go anywhere, so therefore realize that. Because I had a situation where a girl I was trying to get back with, I manifested it once to get back together. But I think it was one of those situations of getting back together to see what was really going on to the point of saying, break up, 3 years later, reconnected again, and I focused on that to happen, right? So in the process of that happening, it did, but they told me the same thing. Notice, really pay attention to what is going on. Pay attention to the conversation you're having. What do you hear? And when I sit here and talk to her, what I heard was this woman was still 3 years back. She was complaining and bitching about everything that happened 3 years ago, and she's still bitching about to this day, so she's still manifesting all those things. And I had to make a conscious decision right there and there and say, okay, you want to be a part of that? Because in that 3 period of time, I'd gone forward. I don't say moving on. I say go forward. I went forward, and I started doing this radio show. I started really working on what I feel like I should do with this spirituality and being a psychic medium, spiritual advisor, and taking it serious and doing it verbatim and started listening to everything and looking for a spiritual person to be with just as strong as I was. And And when I sat there and looked at her and saw her for what she was, you know, I realized at that moment I still loved her as much as I did when we broke up. But the point is, do you go back just because of that? You also let that love take you down that path of truth to see it for what it really is and realize I wasn't going backwards and she wasn't ready. I could sit there and look at myself and say, I love this woman, but it just ain't working. And I knew right then and there. I had to let her go. Yeah, I had to let her go. What? I'm sorry, sweetie.
No, she's really curious because I've been kind of pre-counseling with her, and she's really interested in you said it, there's no possibility really of it going anywhere. She would like to know the reason why and how she can work on herself and how she can work on her fears so that they won't come up in the next relationship. But she really wants to know what was the cause or why won't this relationship move forward, because she's willing to put so much ahead of it, and she doesn't want to let go of it at all. But I'm trying to help her accept the fact that I feel that he's not really in a place where he can be a good mate to her or a boyfriend to her and be where she needs him to be, but she's having a hard time understanding why it's not going to go anywhere. Is there a way you could elaborate for her to understand why it's not going anywhere?
What I'm saying is the one thing I pulled out here real quickly was a healing card. This card here is a situation that has caused you concern, which is kind of wild. It says a situation that has caused you to concern, you concern and on the idea of mending and letting go. You are a natural healer. So what I'm saying basically too of the situation, this helps a lot of people understand why certain people have a tendency to gravitate toward them too as well, is to realize that you're a natural healer. In the process of a natural healer, you are, and your healing thoughts have manifested into form. So they have a tendency to attract and manifest these certain situations of being more of help to them. Not in the sense of a girlfriend, but being more of a friend and helping them to actually change what they're going through and that kind of things. Because in the true sense here, when you sit there and focus on fear, okay, what you do is you don't focus on it. You just allow it to surface, honor it, and let it go, and realize that the fear itself has no basis. It's just the idea of, like, if you have a fear of heights, is it really a fear of heights, or is the idea of hitting the ground? It's the idea of trying to really be honest with yourself what the fear is. Because it's like, you can look at the situation with your friend, is the one fear that she has is the idea of not being good enough for somebody. So therefore, she's attracted to somebody who feels the same way too, who has a tendency to act out these kind of things. Does that make sense?
Yes, very much so.
Okay, so when we sit here and look at the situation, what we want is harmony. So you say a conflict is resolving in a situation that was troubling to you. You know that you deserve this. You deserve to have peace and happiness and accepted it gracefully. But the idea of looking at the situation is like looking at things and going, whoa, let's look at harmony. You want harmony in your life? Then you have to be harmonious to yourself. And she's really hard on herself. And she needs to look at the situation. And she's made decisions, and she might have made some bad decisions. But see, the point is, we could say good or bad, or we could sit here and shake the whole thing out and say neither one. And say, I just made a decision, went down a path, I learned. And ask yourself, what did you learn? Because she's sitting there talking about a lot of things about getting together and not getting, and then not being together.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's more him than it is her. I also feel like he also, in some situations that they were in, even the process of getting thrown in jail, whatever it is, was a manifestation because he didn't want to deal with the relationship he was having with her. So if you really look at the situation of looking at something that's not going forward, and why wouldn't it go forward, is because the person has to realize it's real and that it's going and that it does exist, and the feelings that he has for her are real. And is he ever going to accept that? Until he accepts that he deserves it, that he deserves to be happy because he's made some bad decisions and he has a tendency to lay guilt trips on himself and people around him as well. Until
wow.
He gets that, go ahead.
That's deep, what you just said. I guess she wants to know, like, she reminds me of myself a lot because I'm kind of like this. And the reason why I called your show is because...
You got the friend.
Oh, this is my cousin.
No, I'm just saying, you're still... No, listen to the situation. Your cousin, I got some cousins I can't stand, okay? And you guys have this thing where when I sit and look at you guys are more like best friends than you are cousins.
Mm-hmm. We're close.
So the idea of having the same likes in the same way of presenting yourself and the way you have a tendency to go forward into certain things and have that kind of similarity, makes perfect sense. But the ideal, your friend should listen to you because you guys reflect each other a lot.
Right. But she needs somebody. I'm always telling her, and I'm trying to get her to get a little insight from your perspective. I'm so glad that you were able to take our call. Because she doesn't want to let go. She's willing to give it time, but what we're working on, what we're working on with her is trying for her to understand, like you said, the lesson as to what she needs to do or be mindful of next time. So if he does come back, then she would be ready for him, or, you know, whether it's more patience or whether it's, you know, letting go of her fears of abandonment or fears of infidelity. Like, what is it that was really a big issue in this relationship that caused it to fail, and how could she work on that?
Well, it's the ideal, the reflection. He refuses to learn from the reflection that they got with each other. You see?
Okay.
When you center look at the situation, okay? One thing you have to do in a situation is coming back and people say, I want to be ready when we do get back together. In the process, what does that mean, get ready? What it means in the process of getting ready, it means to look at what happened, what kind of things unfolded. Look at the situation as a point of where you were when you sit there and had a confrontation. And I always say the more calmer you are in an argument, which people say is impossible, no, it's not. It's the ideal living the world tell you that, because I have so many things with situations I just want to sit there and smack people. Because I used to have a friend of mine sit there and say she's been through abusive relationships. And sometimes you wonder about the abusive relationships because she was very abusive. But I still think like attracts like. So when you look at the situation of abuse with a man and a woman getting beat, the fears have attracted each other. She's probably fearful of being alone, and he's fearful of being alone too. They just have a tendency to act it out in different ways. He beats her, and then she stays where she's at. You see what I'm saying, the actions here?
Mm-hmm.
But it's still based on one fear. It's just that two people, if they would look at each other and see the reflection, when some people sit and go, it's impossible, because my friend used to sit and say, well, 97% of men who are abusive will never change. Now, see, putting that kind of perception in everything rings true throughout the world, so people pick up these perceptions. So when they get into these relationships, why it's so hard to see the reflection is because they're listening to the world. They're not listening to themselves. Because you always hear these relationships when they get back together. They can be nice. They can be really, they get along. Everything's great. And they go, okay, and then we go to the phase. And then they have this thing they call the honeymoon phase, which I would say is erase that from all the freaking crazy books out there. Because there's no such thing. It's the idea when you get back together, you want to coexist with each other. So you find ways to do so, and you get along. But you're following your heart, because this is where I really want to be at. It's not until those other little traits pop in, as the ones we don't like, that we have a problem with. What we need to understand is the idea of following your heart and loving someone unconditionally means you love them for the good and the bad, no matter what. And you always find a solution if you follow your heart. But people say, look at the situation arguments. Oh, I don't like it when you do certain things. Those are surface, those are human traits. But it's not who that person is spiritually. And realistically, when you fall in love and you find that one person that you want to have the relationship last forever, it's a spiritual connection. But the people are always going to sit there and look at you and go, there's chemical reactions in the body, and you blah, 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 whatever. The spirit is the control. It's like your body's a car, and your spirit is the driver. Now, do you let your car make decisions in your life? Do you sit there and say, well, my Chevy says I should go to work today? Or
right.
My Chevy says I should eat apples. No, you don't. You take on this energy in yourself, and you say, okay, I'm the control. I need to get back in the driver's seat, and God is telling me that we need to basically realize that you're part of the source. You are the source. You're connected to God. So therefore, let's get back in the driver's seat. So you get yourself back in the driver's seat, and you go, okay, this is what's going to happen. And you start, this is what we're talking about, affirmations. Affirmations are basically the idea of getting people back on the path, realizing what they want, and then turning what they want and finding positive affirmations to back up those things that we want to do. This, like we're talking about the conviction.
I do that, and it works. I was just telling her a couple hours ago about a gratitude journal and how it's amazing that almost everything I write down over time eventually manifests.
Yeah, exactly. So we were sitting going over the thing myself when I sit there and said, you know, the situation is, what do you want? So you sit there and be totally honest with yourself, exactly what do you want? But see, by making that freaking realization, too, this is what I want. It also helps you to understand who's going to give it to you. And also understand and look at the truth of the people who refuse to give it to you. You know, I've always sat there and heard this, and I did a reading today, and people sit there and say, I get too forward, and I'm too honest. There is no such thing. The truth is the truth. And the truth, like they said, the truth will set you free. It's the idea of realizing all the burdens you've been carrying with you and all this garbage and this baggage and stuff. You start realizing when you see the truth, all these people say we're dealing with this stuff. You start realizing one thing. You don't have to deal with anything.
Well, she has a hard time accepting the truth because we've been talking about that as far as, like, for instance, we were looking up his sign, and one of the things that we read was that he is social, and she really doesn't like that he's social, that he has to talk. She doesn't understand, like, why, because she's not that social like that. So she's like, I don't understand why he has to talk to everybody. I'm like, Juanita, it's a part of his personality. Like, you have to accept that. And when you love somebody, you accept things. You can't just be mad about it, you know?
Yeah, it's like, look at the situation and say it like this. So I was sitting there talking, and the girlfriend that I was with this last summer, I was sitting there telling her, you know, sure, there's some things about you that don't, you know, that I have a problem with. But I feel like people are who they are. If you take the bad traits away, then you only have half a person. And you fell in love with this whole person. Before you knew the bad traits, you still fell in love with them. So you already knew, you know, it's like certain things about the whole situation. When we start looking at things like that, all we're doing is putting blocks between us. And what we're trying to do in the situation of love and the ideal, people say we're building love with each other because we get to know each other. No, you're not. Love is energy. Love has always been there. It's like the ideal of getting to know somebody. People let down. They let go. They let go of fears. They let go of blockages. They let go of everything in favor of what's happening because they feel the love. So they start looking. They actually start looking for these things and actually start letting go of themselves. It's amazing when they get into a great relationship how some of these people want to throw those blocks back in there again and say, okay, I'm fearful. I'm scared. And you just want to sit there and look at the situation and go, okay, I understand you're scared. But how are you going to deal with the fear? You got to confront it and say, well, okay, what are you scared of? What is that fear?
Right. That's what she wants to do. That's what our goal is. And she's having a hard time identifying.
Yeah, but the one thing we have to do is we have to understand one thing. If you don't want to be controlled, don't be controlling. See, I'm sitting going to say it like this. I'm going to say it just like this. The women I've worked with, particular ones I've actually worked with, not all of them, but there's a particular few that I've worked with, who want to find somebody who's going to accept them for who they are, but they have one problem. They can't do it themselves, and they won't have the relationships. Like, well, you know, it's like, I want some more attention. I want this. I want this. And I'm sitting there going, okay, you fell in love with this person, and at first when you guys were together the first 2 or 3 months, no big deal. You accepted him for who he was. But then as time went along, there were certain things that, and I call it the world, maybe going to work or whatever, like she was talking about before. He socializes with everybody else. And I sat there and told a friend of mine like this. I didn't tell my last girlfriend. I said, this is what I don't like. Girls who sit there and hook on the guys because this particular guy will treat her nice and treat her special and put her on a pedestal. And the reason I don't like that is because that's an illusion. Because if you look around this man and there's people who don't like him, he treats everybody else like shit. I hate to say that. Treats everybody like crap. But he treats you special, sooner or later, he's going to treat you like crap too. Because that's who he really is. He's giving you the illusion because he knows what you want. Now, how do you see through that? It's the idea of follow your heart. When you follow your heart, it will spiritually illuminate your mind. So therefore, like we said before, you're in the stream of love. So therefore, your thought processes get grounded in that love. So therefore, you look at the situation and go, okay, I don't want to deal with this dude. I know what he's all about. He's lying to me. So therefore, don't question it. It's like the idea of being spontaneous about certain things and say, okay, boom, this guy's he's a user. I don't want that. But also in the situation, ask yourself at the moment, too, what about you also created that situation? Because something you said or did manifested him to come into your life. Now, it could be simply something as finding something within yourself that maybe you expect some things, like your friend. She's sitting there looking at the situation. She wants to be accepted for who she is. She wants to be loved unconditionally, but she also has to learn how to do it. And the process of doing that is to realize one thing, love yourself. Look at yourself. Because every time you have a person comes in your life and reflects something back to you, if you know yourself really well, you understand why. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you can proceed forward and you can tell, okay, this is the boyfriend. This is the person here who's going to use me to get some gas. And, you know, And you start, you know, like people start saying, well, are you going to weed out your friends? I said, no. What happens is you see them for who they are, and you don't, you can still be a loving, caring person, but that doesn't mean you have to associate with certain kind of people because you knew who they are. So you can still maintain who you are. And that's what I'm saying with your friend here. The ideal of this relationship could go forward. It's just the ideal of realizing that he's a sociable person and has all these traits that are really positive traits. It's just the things that make the kid under her insecurity.
Right now.
That she's scared he's going to zip off again or he's going to disappear or have a nice little three-day weekend where she don't know where he's at. And
right.
Sometimes with situations, even with those situations, she has to look at them for what they are. Do you want to go through those experiences? If they start continuing again, then you have to make a conscious decision. It has nothing to do with his freaking social skills. It's the ideal that there are certain things that he is doing that are not acceptable, as in the point of it goes against a person being in a relationship. There's certain things you just don't do anymore. So, and we always tell people, you're not giving up nothing. You've just made a choice to have respect for someone that you don't do those things anymore. And the situation with him, there are some things that he has a tendency, as we thought, you know, I'm going to be who I am. I'm sorry, that's not who you are. That's an action. Those are things you do. Who you are, the reason we can't see that totally who that is, because the action has a tendency to shadow it. I'm just saying with her, I would sit here and definitely take the situation and go, no more. I'm going to take this person for what they are. And there's certain things of infidelities, three-day weekends where he disappears and he doesn't tell me nothing. Those are things I worry about, not the idea of being sociable. Because if you're going to get mad at a person being sociable, she should stop her little thing, too, because she's pretty sociable, too.
Right.
So it's like we sit and look at the situation. Why is he so sociable? Because she is. You know, why is he sometimes mysterious? Because she can be, too. So we just have to sit and look at the reflections that are going back and forth. We can either choose to learn from them, or we can choose to sit and go, oh, I have no idea. And that's why I would sit there and, the first thing I say to people when they call me up and say, does this guy love me? What do you think? Is this a confirmation? Or do you just don't know? Because if you're in a situation where you just don't know, that's pretty bad. Because it's like you need to take a look at both sides of the equation. You need to take a look at the person if he's blocking you, if he's emotionally unavailable. But you also have to look at yourself, too, and say the same thing. You have to sit there and ask yourself, why is it that way? Because you're both in the relationship and you're both contributing to what's going on. So it has to be looked at both sides. And if you're not willing to look at those both sides, then you're not willing to look at yourself.
Both sides. Both ways. Warm out.
So the one thing she needs to do right now to get ready for anything that could happen with this guy is she needs to tell herself that she needs to take things for face value. And if a person's sociable, that's a positive thing. Like, she couldn't handle with me then, because I talk to everybody too. But one thing I am, guarantee you, I talk to everybody. And I really get irritated when people say, well, you're flirting with that girl. I'm being very nice, and I'm nice to everybody. And one thing I don't do in relationships is I care about a person, and I love that person deeply. No shadow of your own, right there. Constantly, I put all my energy into that person. Okay, but I strive for balance in relationships because there can't be anybody on a pedestal. They both have to be on the same plane or you lose balance. And in balanced relationships, it means one person's higher than the other, and it just doesn't work that way. Equality is the idea of 100%, 100%. And the ideal relationships is the idea of what creates a long-term relationship. That determines the two people in it and what they want to put into that whole thing. If they want to sit there and ride on the outside of the whole thing, then you're going to have a relationship with some gaps. And what you need to do in the situation she's into is to tell yourself, are you going to be in or out? And see, the one thing we were talking about before, too, is the ideal of being in love or just loving somebody. I'm like, get real. The situation is like this. When you are in love, and this is the reason I use it. They can say what they want to. I know people out there are going to go, no. Oh, they're in denial. But realistically, take it from a relationship counselor who's been doing this for a very, very, very long time. People who say they're in love means they're in the relationship, 100% commitment. People who say, I'm not in love with you, I just love you, is a person who's on the outside wondering if they really want to be a part of it. Because
we both are in love with each other.
People, it's like this. There is no duality. You either love somebody or you don't. The opposite of love is hate. It's not There's not different variations of love. Love is what it is. The only thing different about love is how it's expressed. The love of a friend, a love of a family member, a love of a girlfriend, a boyfriend. They're all expressed in different ways, but it's still the same amount of love. If you give 100% to anybody, you get good results. Because they take you for face value. They love you, and they really care about you. And they do, and it's just one of those things. It's a continuous river. And we look at the situation in the Bible. It says Omega, which is actually no beginning or no end. It's a continuous circle. So when you look at those kind of signs, there is no such thing as in love or out of love. It's I love you or I hate you. And when people start talking that way, they still love you. It's scaring them. So they're backing off. They're pulling themselves out of the relationship. But they still love you as much as they did when they were in it. It's just an excuse. And if you catch yourself with any kind of excuse or anything you don't like and you're not willing to deal with it and accept it, you're only looking for excuses to keep you from where you want to be. So you're hurting yourself. Doesn't want to say of the situation. Like we said before, he's sociable. Look at the good side of the whole thing. He's sociable. At least he's a nice person. At least he talks to everybody. There's some guys who just sit in the corner going, no way. And then we always have a tendency to take those people and constantly trying to get them to go out and socialize. At least she doesn't do that. But she has to be very totally honest with herself, too, if this is what she really wants. There's still a question that has to go along with that, too.
I was telling my cousin, this Juanita, that I did a lot for him. Like, he had got locked up again while we was talking. And I put money on my phone, so it go both ways. I wanted to talk to him, and he wanted to talk to me. And I would take him to put his applications in. Or if it wasn't food in the house, you know, I put food in, you know, his house, like with his mother, and he cooked for me and his family. Like, I've done a whole lot of stuff for him, and I don't think it's that easy just to just drop the relationship.
Mhm. All right. I'm just saying it's not a two-way street. I'm just saying the idea of keeping it open and the whole thing. A two-way street has to be constantly a two-way street. When I sit here and look at the ideal, it's not the idea. It's not even a point of being a two-way street. It's the idea of a continuous flow. That's why I brought the term omega. 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 There is no end. There's no end or no beginning. And what that means is a continuous circle. So that's what the relationship has to be, a continuous giving. Without any condition, you just give because you want to give. I've had a lot of conversations with women who say, I give and give and give, but I don't get nothing back in return. Well, how do you feel? I feel used. Well, if you feel used, then you're not giving for the right reason.
No, I don't feel used. I just feel like it shouldn't be that easy to leave for somebody that was there for you.
I did it because
I was in love with him and I loved him. That's why I did it.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying in the situation, because a lot of people sitting there, in relationships you have this wonderful thing where people don't feel like giving enough. But they're not really accepting the person for who they are. A lot of people get together, have a lot of things going on in the beginning of the relationship, they know. And then they feel like if they're together for long periods of time, those traits are going to automatically go away, not realizing that those could be the characteristics of that person. And to even sit there and look at somebody and any kind of expectations of wanting them to change because you can't deal with it means you're not dealing with yourself. But that's a reflection back to you that you also more than likely have the same kind of traits as well, so therefore you're not listening. You're not looking at the things that are reflecting back to you and doing what you need to do. Because in the process of situations, I've been in certain situations where I just backed off and just, I need to sit there and take a look at our arguments get out of control and we lose track of everything or we don't know what we're even arguing about. Those things need to be taken seriously as not the end of a relationship. Even if you sit there and look at a person and you say, well, I think you're kind of controlling. And you got that one moment and then you walk away. You really didn't look at the situation for what it was. You didn't look at yourself. Sometimes I've seen situations like that before where I'm in the same thing. That person is trying to control the situation, who is scared because of the flow of the relationship is good, okay, getting swept away, as we call it. And then they kind of look at the situation and go, okay, face part, looking at words, looking at certain things. And it's usually because there's people around them saying a lot of things about that person. And I always sit there and say, if you have friends who are constantly on your back, and constantly doing this, constantly pushing you in a direction, those are not your friends. They can be, because when we look at the situation of joy and happiness and mutual understanding means I make my decisions for my life. And if you're constantly pushing me to do something, then you don't approve of it. And I don't need your approval. I need your support. And if you can't give me the support, then go away. But some people don't have that strength to say that because they're scared. If I lose my friends, I lose my longevity. I've heard people say, it says that the more friends you have, the longer you'll live. Well, if you have a crappy life, who wants to live that long? So you take a look at the situation of people around you and how those things, real seriously, look at people around you and how they have an effect on the decisions you make. And ask yourself, are you making decisions for you or making decisions for them? Are you sitting here trying to please somebody or are you trying to please yourself? And be totally honest with yourself. And this is what we talked about before. Any person who says, I almost followed my heart, and no, I didn't take that path, really needs to reexamine themselves and say, what am I doing? Everywhere in the world, it talks about the ideal of how to manifest in itself, that there has to be love of self, which is the idea of following your heart and loving yourself and looking at the whole situation from your point of view. But we're looking at God, too, right? Realizing we're co-creators in life. And there's another, for example, okay, you're focusing there. I guess we'd sit here and say, okay, what's the example of me not following my heart? If you keep telling yourself, I have made a decision to go down a certain path, no matter what you get, what you're feeling, okay, like someone says, okay, I fell in love with this person, but I did something that I shouldn't have done, and they look at the relationship as crazy, that following their heart made them do something that was irresponsible. Now, in the process, we have to look at the situation of responsibility. Responsibility is a perception. And the perception here is, what is responsible? Well, if we really take it down to the bottom line, like I said before, people dealing with all kinds of crazy stuff and saying, okay, I got a phone bill. I got a gas bill. Well, okay, what do you do? Pay them. If you can't pay them, the world doesn't come to an end either. They keep sending you bills, so that's proof. But I'm saying, when you get caught up in all that kind of crap, that's the stuff we keep saying we have to deal with. We don't realize by following our heart, the solutions we're looking for come quicker. It's usually a win-win situation. Everything happens great, okay? And it's the same thing with relationships. If we're sitting there refusing to be ourselves, this is a situation. We sit down and talk about the things she's talking about, just with the socializing thing. It's something simply needs to be sit down and talked about. This is also a key point to the situation, if people even sit down and talk about it. Because if she finds a problem with him socializing, it's the idea of them sitting down and talking about it and coming up with a solution. Not a compromise, a solution. And that's the big thing here. So that's one thing that she needs to do, too, and ask herself, can you actually do that? I'm sorry if I went kind of like on the thing, but I'm just saying people don't understand the same energy and the same love that you use for relationships, you use for careers. Even the idea of buying a house, changing yourself, looking at all these things, it's all traced back down to the whole thing of saying love is the key. Because if we follow our hearts where we really want to be at, even when we buy a house, we won't complain. Okay. So I just wanted to understand, I guess we sit here and take it down to the final line, because I want to get to some other callers. But if I put it down to the final line, it's just her dealing with herself. And when she says she wants to love something, she wants to be loved unconditionally, and she's going to have to love him as unconditionally as possible. And if it doesn't work out with him, to still tell herself that by loving unconditionally, I'm going to find the person I'm going to be with who's going to be the reflection I've always wanted as in the ideal dealing with. Because we all want to find someone who's like us. But if we can't deal with us, how are we going to deal with somebody else?
Right.
And that's the big thing. She needs to learn from herself and say, okay, it's no big deal if someone socializes. It's in the ideal of socializing, what does he do? If he's actually really flirting with other women, or there's something that happens in a conversation where he ignores you the whole party, that's the problem. Not the communication, not the socializing, but what he does to her. And it seems like to me like she's just focusing on the point of socializing because something might happen.
Right, exactly.
She's caught up in her fears, and that's what we've been talking about. We're trying to figure out. She's learning how to let go, and it's so hard because she's very used to getting her way and getting what she wants, and people changing or things change because she says so. But she's dealing with the person who's just as stubborn as she is, and it's hard for her to see the mirror because she doesn't even want to look at herself. She wants
I'm just
to.
Saying.
She feels like if she's been so good to him, there is nothing in her that she needs to change.
That's the whole thing, yeah. It's the idea that you're looking for respect for the things that you do, but realize one thing in life. I'm just one more final moment, and I have to get on with somebody else. But
okay.
The one thing she needs to do is she needs to realize that he's not a person who's there to fulfill her. That is her responsibility. And that's what she's doing with a little bit of traits out in there. She needs to sit there and be right with herself and say, I love this. And if you get into a relationship and you say, I love this person, I know by beyond a shadow of a doubt, then she's probably gotten there with herself too as well. And that's all
right.
She needs to do. It's just love that person, but always make time for yourself and do what you got to do. I mean, if you're sitting there facing each other and you can see the glow and everything about the whole thing, she got it. So just continue to be yourself. You know?
Right.
And also, and so one other thing too is remember when in the process of being in relationships, there are going to be a lot of changes. Why? Because you've made a choice to be happy and to be with somebody. You're no longer by yourself. You're no longer single. And therefore, take the responsibility for what you've manifested to put yourself completely in it, to let it go where it's going to go. Not let other people dictate that or the world dictate that. You and this other person are the only two that should be in this relationship. We should take it back to being two again and realize that family and friends, once you're in a relationship, they take the back seat. Because why? Because actually, realistically, the relationship you're in, we sit here and talk about, you sit here and say, my friends and family are very important to me. Well, then look at your boyfriend or girlfriend as that, just that. They're your best friend and they're your family. They come first. They're your priority. Don't ever sit here and tell somebody that you're the number one thing in my life, and then make them number two and expect a positive outcome. Because you won't get it. Because basically, realistically, the truth is you lied if you do that. If you sit and tell someone they're the number one thing in your life and make them number two, then you're lying. They have to come number one, like with the situation you're talking about. She has a problem with it, socializing. They need to sit down and talk about that. And if he refuses to do that, he's being disrespectful to her. Because if, for example, she sits and says, I have a problem with your socializing. He said, well, I don't see a problem. She didn't say that. It's a, you know, the problem is with him, as in per se. She's saying she has a problem with it. So she has the problem, and she wants to talk about it. So when he sits and says, I don't see a problem, that's disrespectful because he's not listening to her. She's saying
right.
At that moment, I sit down and talk about it. He needs to take the time and sit down and talk to her right when it happens, right at that moment. The party's not important. The friends are not important. Nothing's more important than what her feelings are at that moment. I guarantee if you sit down at that moment and discuss it and work it out and find out why it is, I guarantee they can work it out and get through it at that moment to realize what is more important. The relationship itself is the most important thing. And the only way it's ever going to have any kind of strong foundation is for the two people in it to respect that and to respect each other, period. So if you're sitting there listening to a friend, a family, or anybody, and you're considering making a decision because of what they said, without even considering your spouse or your girlfriend or whatever, then you're being disrespectful to that person because it's just a problem between the two of you. What you want is friends and family to be supportive of whatever you decide to do. And they can give their advice, but I've had so many friends who sit there and go, you didn't listen to me. I'm telling you right now, I listen to every freaking word you said, but I have a bad habit. I make my own decision. You see the difference? That's what
mm-hmm.
you need to teach. Because it's like, seriously, relationships need to get back to them, just two people in them anymore. If you have anybody else in that freaking relationship or even a friend who's just haunting and bugging them to go shadow, you have a fear that you need to confront and let go of. And I guarantee you, if you do that, it's a fear that you'll trace back to somebody who's been there for a period of time that should have been X'd out years ago because he's causing a person not to have a fulfilling life because he refuses to respect it. Or if it's a she. I've seen a lot of situations where a woman will not let go of a guy who's already in a relationship. At that moment, let go. Don't sit here and try to make them manipulate them and try to make them feel bad and all kind of stuff. That's just being disrespectful And I wish people would look at it for what it is, too. It's manipulation in the biggest form. Or if you're out there and you have a friend who you ask to do something for you, or you just have a friend who takes the initiative to tell somebody something. First of all, they don't have the right. And plus, if they're going to be a real friend will tell you flat to your face or any kind of sweat, any kind of situation. It's your
right.
responsibility to take and confront those things. To ask me to do it for you is another disrespectful thing. And if you have a friendship base where all this stuff is going on, where people are trying to tell you, or, for example, if you have friends who basically tell you, I'm going to tell this guy off for you because I'm tired of hearing it. See, they're tired of hearing it because they don't have any freaking, they have no advice. They have no clue what's going on. And they're tired of hearing you bitch about it. They don't want to hear it. But at that moment, I still think it's a disrespectful thing to do to a friend because you should listen to them. Because we had this on the show where people constantly call us and ask us the same question over and over again. I just need to take the responsibility not to blow them off. They still have a problem. They still have something they're confronting. It's for I think it's our job to go past the illusion, go deeper into the situation. It might not be a question about a guy, will this guy come back or not like that. It may be deeper than that of an insecurity or like with your friend, the fear they need to confront. That we need to really take the responsibility to help them find that. And that's what I'm saying with the situation. No, we can't be enablers. We have to sit there and be true friends. And true friends are people who support your decisions. They don't sit there and basically make you feel bad because of the decisions you made. They don't also, there's another one too about situations, we can bring to the forefront a situation and say, okay, this person could be this person could be that. We have to realize one thing on that whole surface, too. Those people are also making decisions and giving us advice through their own fears. The best thing we've heard, the very first thing, a person said, this person could be a serial killer. And I was mad about it, too. I was like, you're right. I have a tendency to smash Lucky Charms. I'm a serial killer. You know?
Right.
And I have a tendency to kill a cereal because I always take all the marshmallows out of it. But, you know, when you sit there and think about it, that person at that time who sat there and said that to you probably has an issue of their own, and you should take that really strongly in consideration.
That's true.
On that note, sorry, guys, it's a passionate night. I think, like, for the last, I don't know how long, we get passionate shows, just like, let's put it out there, because I was saying before, I just want to say real quick, that I get really irritated with women who sit there and say to me, this guy, we can't really say what we really want to say. We really can't do what we really want to do because this man loves me, and I'm scared I'm going to scare him off. And I say, scare him off. Because what you're realistically, look at the reflection. Here's a person who can't, in any kind of shape or form, express to you what you want to hear. Okay? You want to hear the words. You want to hear I love you. You want to, there's expressions. You want those certain things to happen. You want those things to happen. And if that person doesn't express this thing to you, don't sit there and make an excuse and say, I know this guy loves me deeply. Because what you're doing is you're feeding into a fear. He has to love you. Because if he doesn't love you, then you don't feel like you're a loving person. And it's like validation. So you have to deal with your issues. He has to deal with his issues. But one thing he definitely is, the fact is, he's emotionally unattainable because he refuses to be a part of it. And he refuses to tell you those things. He wants you to think about it. You shouldn't have to think about it. You should have to focus on it 24/7, like we said before, a two-way street, right? So he has to come to the forefront, too, and this is a freaking plate. But, see, the point is telling women flat out. I'm sorry, I've always heard from women who say, well, he's been hurt. You know something? I'll tell you like this. I've been hurt so freaking deep and run over by a freaking truck. Do you think I'm going to allow that to keep me from being happy and finding the right person? No, I'm not. And when I'm in a relationship, I guarantee you, whatever I'm feeling at that moment, you're going to hear it. I tell people, you might not like it at the moment, but I will definitely keep you out of the dark so you will know exactly how I'm feeling, what's going on, if I have a problem with this, that, and the other. That's the way relationships are supposed to be. You're supposed to be able to sit down and, like she says, I want to be prepared for this. It's the ideal hearing the good and the bad and say, okay, he doesn't like freaking ham. You do? Okay, great. But see, look at the situation. He's never going to do it your way. Why? Because he's an individual. Because you never do it the way people want you to do it either. Because you're both individuals. So it's the idea of respect means respecting people. I mean, listen, if you want this, I'll give you this real quick. Meditation. Focus and say to yourself, ask God and the angels to help you focus on one thing, well, actually two things. You want to focus on loving and respecting this person that she talked about when she gets back with him unconditionally. And just love and respect him exactly for who he is. and then ask the angels, God and angels, also help you to love more every day. Because if you do those two things, you will constantly be respecting Him, but the idea of wanting to love more, you'll be respecting yourself. And you will always be respecting what they are. Love will reveal the truth. The truth will set you free. You see the combination there? So we look at the situation. I was sitting with telling a friend of mine, I was like, we got the angel of unconditional love and freedom. Don't you love how their names are?
The angel, yeah.
The angel of love, you know, unconditional love and freedom. Okay, so what it says is if you unconditionally love, you always have freedom. Why do you have freedom? You know for a fact in relationships that when you're loving somebody, you're not getting back what you want. That means I'm a loving person. I'm an unconditionally loving person. This person's not. He can't be the one. You scoot on. It saves you time. It saves you everything. If you just listen to that one aspect of the whole thing and go, okay, he doesn't love me back like I love him. And if you really listen to your heart, you find out the people who are just wanting something from you. It could be the idea I'm lonely. But also the situation is, when you get into a situation that's confusing, like you said before, like some people have said, how's he feel? Then you sit down, you be still. You ask God and the angels to help you love and respect this person for exactly who they are, and help you to love more every day, and also help you to see with your newfound truth what's really going on. And you'll know exactly how that person feels. You'll know exactly what's going on. So therefore, you make decisions quicker. That's why good relationships go so fast, because there's no thinking. It's spontaneous action.
That's very true. Thank you, thank you, thank you for reaffirming that.
You're welcome.
No, like I really, and I needed to hear that also. You said good relationships, they say that again, they don't take that much time.
That's right. They go very quickly because we're not thinking
right,
about
very
it.
Very quickly.
Yeah, we're making decisions spontaneously because we trust what we feel.
Right.
All right.
So very quickly. Yes, indeed. But right before that, I'm trying to remember what you said. You said focus for the meditation, focus on loving and respecting him unconditionally.
Yeah.
Ask angels of God to assist.
Yeah.
And then you said something else.
You ask God and the angels to help you to love and respect. You could, if you're not with somebody, then just simply say, God and angels, can you help me to love and respect everybody who crosses my path? And also, and then you sit there and say, okay, God and angels, also help me to love more every day. So if you do have a certain person in your life that you definitely do want to love and respect unconditionally, and then ask God and angels to say, help me to love and help me to love and respect this person for who they are. Look, you can say unconditionally love and respect this person for who they are. You know, but I know for a fact what's going to happen in the situation, either going to be a part of your life or they're not going to be a part of your life. But you want to be,
right.
But be a loving person. And that's what I'm saying. We all have to look at situations, too, that when we're in relationships and they don't work out, if we can really be honest with ourselves that we gave everything, we loved unconditionally, we respected and everything like that, then we have to take the time to honor that, too, as well, and also realize the person on the other side of the equation, the reason they're not a part of our lives, is because they wasn't being true to themselves. Even if they take off, even with a great relationship and you know for a fact they loved you, the reason you're not together is because they haven't come to that realization about themselves. Right? And then because they can't see you. They can't see you for who you are. That this person's loving me unconditionally. This person loves and respects me. Has always been there for me. All they keep thinking about is their fears of what's going to happen to them. What if? I had a girlfriend who went for what if for 3 years. I got frustrated to the point where I was like, when are you going to let go of the whole thing and see it for what it is? And she goes, well, you could change. I'm like, I don't think someone could be that actor for that long a period of time. I really don't. Maybe so. I'm just saying I knew I wasn't. I knew I wasn't acting. I was trying to say, can't you see it for what it is? But then I realized later on it was because she couldn't see herself. She couldn't see herself she couldn't have unconditional love and respect for herself to realize she deserved it and that it was real and that someone actually did love her.
Right.
When she came to the point and realized that, I don't know what it is, because I'm still waiting for it to happen because I haven't heard nothing from her. But when you see
right.
the situation, a relationship I've been in, when you know for a fact that you have that kind of love and respect for yourself, because that's what you're giving to the person. Because I sit here and said this when I sit here talking about a girlfriend I was dating, and I sit here and told her flat out, I love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. That's because of the kind of love I have for myself. That's why I get so passionate about these things,
about wanting people to have that kind of love too as well. That we want to sit there and go, I had this. It was great. Love to have it back too. Feel like it's going to. But I also want to share that with everybody out there too, to say you can do this. You can do it too. You can have those relationships. They're not in the freaking fairy tales, because the fairy tales are actually what? Written by human beings. So therefore it is possible. It's definitely possible. It's just the idea of, you got to get that in your mind. You have to have that love and respect for yourself and tell yourself with that kind of love and respect and to love more every day, you're going to get positive people, more positive people in your life, more love, that kind of stuff. Unless you make a conscious choice to walk the other way, and you're going to get the opposite. So, you know, it's like we want to help people clear the confusion. Okay, you're confused. You're thinking too much. Okay, stop it. Ask yourself, you're in a relationship. When you was in that relationship, what'd you do? Realistically, happy ones, you were making, you were sort of saying, okay, let's go, say you guys met on a website, and you took it like real quick. You went from talking on the website, and the next day you're talking on Skype. The next day you're talking about meeting each other. That's what I mean, progression. You have to trust those things. You're just making decisions because you feel that you should. You feel good. You feel great. You feel loved. So you keep continuously to the point where I want to see the person. I want to see more and more and more and more. And then next year you're spending 12 and 14 hours a day. But you're actually making the point where you're still living your lives. You're still doing your job. You're doing this and everything. But you're making that time for each other. See how you're balancing it out? You got the relationship. You got the work. Everything's going on. But so many people look at the situation because they got friends who are not getting the attention. The friends are not getting the attention of the whole thing. So they start making the big things. I told a friend of mine, the relationship that I was in with my ex-fiance was a prime example of that, because she would sit there and her friends would call, and all of a sudden, boom, she's off the freaking, she's like, I got to go, I got to do, these people want to talk to me, I got to do that, and she put me on the back burner. Now, the reason I say it's a good example, because that's what she is. Her friends are pushy, they're impatient, they need her attention, they're offended by me, so therefore they have no respect for the relationship. And to tell you the truth, they have no respect for her, because they don't honor that, okay? And on the other side, she was like, well, you got your friends you talk to. I said, yeah, look at the example, what they do. They call, they find out that me and you are doing something, they call back. They even apologize for interrupting. I said, that's the difference between people you think are friends and people who are. They have a mutual understanding to realize that you've been looking for a long-term relationship, and now you got one. Or you're trying to have one. So they have a tendency to respect that. So we have a respect on one side, but we have a respect on the other side. But look at the situation and go, okay, what's the reflection? Are they going to learn from it? And she refused to, so therefore the relationship didn't continue. She refused to put her friends at bay and say, okay, this is the way it is. And she was always scared she was going to offend them. See the point? If you're scared that you're going to offend anybody in your life, then you're not being true to yourself. Those are prime examples, so therefore I'm going to have to go on and get to people, but I hope everybody's listening. I really hope I helped you out. I'd love to hear from you again and do a private reading for both of you.
Yes, so, we appreciate it so much. Thank you. We've got a lot out of it. I just hope that once we took notes, so I just hope when we go over the notes that she's willing to be honest and to really reflect and be ready for change. But you touched everything, and I really appreciate it, Journeyman.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. And you guys are great. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You have a good night.
Thanks, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Marilyn. Okay, let's go into other callers, guys. I'm really sorry. I apologize to everybody out there, but it's just, yeah, the information goes. I want to sort of look at the situation in the chat room, just make a check. I'm going to jump in. I want to tell everybody that we're actually going into the next caller, so please hang in there. I see that Kelly was actually in the room, too. I wish I could have said hi to her. I haven't talked to her in so long. I wish she'd give me a call. And look at the number on top of the screen. It goes 740-500-8863 to get a private reading, guys, if you've been listening, that kind of stuff, because I guarantee you the same kind of time I take with people. It's like, for example, if you call the show, you get a special rate of $65 for an hour reading, which is actually a 60 to 90-minute reading. And then it's $45, I think, for a half hour, but it's actually 30 to 45 minutes. But I guarantee you, once you pay that money, if it takes 2 hours, I don't charge you anymore. Just the idea, I want to make sure that when we get on the subject and the information is flowing, I'm not going to cut it off and say $20 more. First of all, that's not really respectful to you, and it's not respectful to the angels of cutting them off at that moment to say, need more money. okay? Because it's going to flow anyway. And that's a whole thing. Respect, isn't it? All right. There's a person in the room, Romantable. I will get time. I see your question, so just let me get on here with the callers, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, let's go to this one here. It's a Skype call, I do believe. I think. I'm not sure. 1111.
Hi.
Is this Vivian?
Yes, this is Vivian.
That's what I thought. So I was like, I'm sorry, I apologize. It's like one of those things I say, I'm sorry, but I'm not really sorry. I mean, the information came out there, I just feel like everybody needed to hear it. So therefore, I hope everybody took it in like they're supposed to. And if anybody has any questions about that, please give us a call on it. But
I just have two friends that I kind of lost because I met at one of my friends, and I don't know whether, like, she and I are best friends for years, but I don't know whether we will she be mad at me, or can we, like, reconcile? And that's the other friend that we kind of have a misunderstanding, like, he's mostly my brother friend, so that's why what I say when he called in the middle of my show, I just, you know, mad at my brother, say that, well, how come you never answer the phone that your friend is calling you? And then I didn't know, little did I know, that he was to invite both of us to his wedding. So I missed his wedding. And, you know, it seems like he thinks that I don't think he's a friend. It's just that the pattern was like mostly my brother get the call and he go out. He never include me in the hangout, so I was thinking, like, maybe that's what they all think, and I didn't know he actually think of me as a friend before, so it's kind of like misunderstand both ways kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I want to say the situation, I guess, is friendship, right? We're talking about friendship, and you see changes in your friendships are occurring. It's like the idea of being loving and honest with yourself as well, too, and what you really want to do with the situation. Because I feel like from what I've picked up already with your situation, that I just feel like the friendships that you're talking about coming together again and actually being better than it was before, it's just the idea to allow it to happen. But it's like looking at the idea of friendship, but also looking at the appreciation of the healing benefits of true friendship in the first place with the idea within yourself, of course, but also I just feel that the situation is a lot of people here are just not being totally honest with themselves and exactly what they're getting in a reflection of being honest with themselves, where they have a tendency to distance themselves from people, you in particular. But you ring too much truth, that they will work it out, will understand that the idea of compassion that you have for them, That will bring them to you again and cross your paths, and you'll be together as friends like we were before. There's no question about it.
So both of my friends will actually talk to me again, and we will be fine.
Yes, but like I said before, one thing it said in there: be true to yourself, be honest. Honestly, what that means is the idea of speaking your mind. Like I said before, when we're in conversations and we have this one little thing, it says, We have these thoughts that keep popping in our head. I want to say this. But we sit here and tell ourselves, nope, I'm scared I'll hurt this person. See, the word scared, it's a fear. It's a fear of offending somebody, not realizing that word itself. You have to realize you're offending yourself because you're not speaking the truth. The truth will set you free. So we should also understand that we assist with that freedom with some other people by speaking the truth. When they hear it, they might get angry, they might get upset, but actually what they're doing at that moment is they're expelling energy that's probably suppressed within themselves anyway. It just came out in anger. But like, once you get past the anger part, the realization of the love that they have for you too will come out first, but they're using the anger to keep themselves from actually accepting it and actually realizing it's there, you know.
I was a bit worried about both of them because I lost touch with them, and especially my brother's friends, which is my friends actually. But I was kind of mean in the way I handled it. I didn't mean to, but I was in the middle of a show, so I was a little bit upset that my brother won't pick it up. So, and I just refer him as my brother's friend, and I was like, you know, I may not even able to see him again when he go back to Hong Kong.
I'm just saying, just go with the flow and everything else, everything will work itself out. It's like I said before. Just be honest, just honor yourself, the situation too. Don't let them...
Sorry, can you say that again? I can't hear you.
No, I'm saying you have to honor yourself throughout this whole situation. When the people get offended, you have to look at the situation of getting offended as the ideal... moral and self and self-centeredness. I want your attention. I can't get it, so therefore I don't like you. You know, or they distance themselves from you. But once they get to that point of realizing that it's just a thing reflecting back to them, that it's something they need to deal with. Once they deal with it, then
so I will be okay. I don't have to worry about it, but because whatever I say was all from my innermost mind. So I'm saying it so to release it, so it's up to them now to figure it out. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's your response. That's what sometimes, put it this way, all the time, people have to understand one thing. We are not responsible for no one. We're only responsible for ourselves. As long as we keep as long as we keep true to ourselves, then we're a reflection to everybody else to do the same. So we have to maintain that. So when people don't and they back off from you, that means they're not accepting themselves for who they are because they don't like the reflection. So they take themselves out of out of the picture. Like, for example, if someone loves you and they know for a fact that you love them, it's a hard, so the reflection basically is true love. Why would they walk away from that? Because they truly can't love themselves, and they can't really, at that point, they can't really conceive in their mind that someone would truly love them because they have a problem with themselves. But once they come to the realization that they have a trouble with themselves and they realize the reason they pulled themselves out of a situation in the first place, it wasn't because of the person. It was because of themselves that they was not willing to look at that. But once they do look at it and they realize that they can love themselves, then they realize that people, that's why people love them, because that's who they really are. Because, and seriously, a lot of people back off because they're scared if you get too close to them, they're going to see you. So you're going to see them for who they are. They don't realize that the true, caring, loving people we already have, and we're still here.
Yeah, there's another friend that's due that he always behaves that he doesn't really care, but it's actually a friend. And it's kind of annoying because he always say the opposite of what he mean. And I was like, I try so hard to, like, understand him, but he was, like, you know, really not sociable or unable to express what he meant. I guess with that too, I just have to draw bottom line with them and honor myself first, and then they have to figure it out if they want to come back or not.
So I'm just saying, just let the things play out. But like I said before, you got to be true to yourself, and things will play out a whole lot quicker.
Yeah, I have to be fair, right? Like, I can't just do so much for friends, and if they don't really cherish it, I have to take back that energy. I don't want to help others and then drain myself, and at the end, the outcome is not what I want. I mean, that was, like, pretty scary, and when you have someone that you really like, but you know that you have to stop there, draw the line, and say, you know what, it's time for you to be more mature before we can be friends again, because it's just rough, because you'll care so much, but sometimes you have to say no. And
that's true. You do. You have to sit there and say no. I can't deal with this right now, so therefore can we, you don't, you know, sometimes you can deal with it in other ways too. I think you can actually find a different avenue to go with, where if a person really honors and respects you, that you can actually sit down about it. And I feel like that's what's going to happen here. You just have to wait until they get to that point. But, you know, if you have a tendency to continuously cross people's paths, too, they have to take into consideration, too, why is that still happening? Even if you're even if they're still in a state of anger, you're communicating with each other, maybe indirectly, but the communication is still going on. So, therefore, it's just it's kind of like leading you up, telling you that in process there's some negative communication and certain things are going on, but there's just certain things that, in the idea of honoring feelings, they have to let those go too before we get that part. Like I said before, people are angry with you. Let them get through the anger. Once they get through that anger, that's what, the anger's gone. The only thing they got to content with is the idea that they do have those positive
mm-hmm.
loving for you, and then they will. You need to give them a chance to do so, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Do you have a show?
Yeah, I have a show. I have a show. My Blog Talk Radio show is Vivian Soh, so it would be Blog Talk Radio/Vivian. So I actually skipped this week because this week I'm really tired and, you know, lots of stress going on, but I will resume next week. So.
Yeah, if you ever get a chance, you can love to have you on the show as a guest.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you for your time. I feel much better now because I was thinking, oh no, I speak my mind and I anger somebody. But I guess if I never release it, it would just snowball and never clear up that track and stuff.
That's good. Keep us posted. Like I said before, you're more welcome to come on the show as a guest. Let me know. But also give us an update on this too. Call us back. Tell what's going on. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. You have a great night. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye-bye, Dan. And we're spinning. Yes, we have. There we go. Finally, the trigger is. This is it. Okay. Let's go on to. I'm not really sure. Okay, let's go to area code 713. Welcome to the show, and how are you? And what's your name?
Hello?
Yes, area code 713. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. Are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So, therefore. I wasn't too sure, this new switchboard, I'm not really sure what it means when people actually want to come on the show and talk. I mean, like the old one where they used to have hands that popped up and said, yeah, I want up. So what's your name?
It's Maria.
Maria? Where are you calling from, Maria?
Yeah. Well, I'm from England, but at the moment I'm living in America.
Okay. I knew you were from England. But that's what I was curious about, because I saw your area code. I was like, okay, 713. For some reason, I just can't place that one. If you don't want to tell us, that's fine, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's okay. I emigrated to America 4 years now.
So is there anything we can help you with tonight? I'd love to.
It's a bit deep, really. God, I don't know where to start with listening to everybody else's problems. 4 years ago, I emigrated to America, and I got told my mum had cancer, and I goes home, and she was in a hospice, and I spent a lot of time. Can you understand my accent okay?
Yes, you're fine.
I'll have to talk a bit slower. Anyhow, mm-hmm. To cut a long story short, I go spend some time with my mum in England for 6 weeks in the hospice, and they said she had about another 9 months to live, so I comes back to America for 2 months and then goes back again, backwards and forth. And near the end, I just couldn't watch her die, you know, no more. So I ended up coming mm-hmm. back to America, and I just feel so guilty because I didn't end up going back after spending so much time, and I'm just wondering, I don't know, I just feel so guilty because I didn't end up, I'm from a family of seven,
mm-hmm.
and I just hope she's feeling okay about it up there.
So you wasn't there when she passed away, right?
Well, I was there right till the end, but I was just mentally and physically exhausted, you know, watching her die, and I just couldn't
mm-hmm.
cope no more.
I hear you.
So,
you know, I sit there, when I focus on, I was sitting here listening to you talk, and I just felt like your mother was coming through saying that, just the ideal situation of putting too much pressure on yourself, so therefore it's the ideal, you need to let go of that. And I just feel very, that really came across strong. Just letting go, and almost like a realization of understanding, and just really understanding that what you were going through at the time, almost to the point where she seems like she's a person, seems to understand everybody else.
Yeah.
instead of taking time for herself anyway. And it's like one of those things of trying to help you and comfort you and say, you need to let this go because it's eating up at you, and I've already gone on, and it's already moved on, so therefore you do too.
That makes sense. But sometimes I just feel so guilty, and I think, God, why didn't I have the energy to go back at the time, and I just can't let it go. It's hard to explain. She was 84 years of age.
No, I understand. No, seriously, it's like I said before with your mom, it's like an understanding that almost like she's saying, what's the point? Why come back and see me? As in a point of saying the process of actually that transition. Because
I felt at the time I was dying with her, watching her. Does that make sense?
Saying, the heart, yeah, the love. It's like this, this love you have for her is more powerful than the idea of not being there totally for somebody because of what you were going through. And it's like I said before, I just get this real strong feeling where she said, I'm in spirit, so therefore I see what you were going through. I knew what you were going through at the time. So therefore, you have nothing to feel bad about.
She never died alone. She had lots and lots of family. You know, I'm from a family of seven. And I think to myself, I shouldn't use that as an excuse that because I wasn't there. Do you know what I'm saying? Because she had lots of family. And I felt I was weak, too weak to go back. And I just feel like, God, why didn't I go back at that time? But there's no turning back time, is there?
Yeah, but
what makes me feel better, I was a person that I was there for while she was alive than not the person when I could have not been there all the years that she was alive. I was there when she was alive, I'm sorry, and I'm not turning up after the fact. Does that make sense?
Most definitely.
But I just feel guilty that I should have been strong enough to go back.
But you only had the strength that you had. You couldn't do anything else.
No.
So you can't get mad at yourself for not having the strength. You can't, you know, like, I needed to have the strength to get there. Well, at the time, the strength that you had, the idea of having strength and being a strong person at that moment was basically depleted because of where you were at the time, as long as you was.
I went back to England 6 weeks. I went back to England 6 weeks ago and went to visit a grave. And funny, strangely enough, I comes out the graveyard, I put the radio on, and this song comes blaring out, Ave Maria. And it was like, God, was that a sign?
Yeah, it was.
I don't know.
I get the impression that your mom has been with you. Sometimes she transited. So she, it's like, I got that really strong feeling. I was like, okay, she's been with you the whole time trying to get you to go to Gil.
I hope so. I just wished I never run away at the time and I could have faced it, but just hate myself sometimes for not.
I'm just saying, with the situation, everything goes off. She's trying to help you let go. Just let it go. I mean, seriously, when I sit here and focus on even seeing the visuals that she gives me about just having her hands on her shoulders, where it's like she has her arms around you. So you have hands on both your shoulders, but she's like to the right. And she's walking with you. Almost like I saw her at the cemetery. That's what I was saying before. It was definitely a sign that she was even there with you at the cemetery. But she doesn't always go to the cemetery. She's never.
Say that again?
She's never at the cemetery. She was never at the cemetery in the first place. When she died, she went. The spirit of her went with you. The reason she was at the cemetery was because you were there. And she had her arms around you. She had this long giraffe on. And, almost like a, how do you say this? It's got a flowery pattern on it. See this dress? It's like a long, I'm trying to figure out what dresses and skirts are. A skirt's like a little piece of the waist, and the dress is a long thing, right? What I see is it's something that goes from her shoulders down to her. Well, it says it goes from her shoulders down to her ankles.
She always wore dresses.
Huh?
She always wore dresses. I'm sorry, I'm just a bit chilled.
No, it's okay. And like I said before, she's with you. She's been with you. She's the ideal helping you to go and understand there's no reason to have any kind of guilt. To help her, like it's trying to help you understand. She's like, I'm in a better place. I love it. I'm busy all the time helping other people. But I always make time. I'm always with you. And therefore, if you let this go, you understand that you did what you did. Because if you would have done it differently, you would have. But you didn't.
Yeah.
That's just who you are. I was thinking of the situation with the lady where she's just got her arms around you. It's one of those things where you have to sit there and hear it. But you just feel this really strong connection with the two of you where it's just walking. And she's just telling you flat out, let go of the whole thing. Don't feel guilty. Because I don't love you any less. If anything, I love you more for you being true to yourself. All right?
Yeah.
And I do feel like there's a lot of people around her, too, as well, that you can see them connected to her as well. You get the impression where she says, I love you, and they also almost like a we. We love you, too.
Yes, that'd be my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm happy that she's together with him anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting too.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
It's kind of really incredible when people sit there and take it to extremes.
I know.
Even after they pass on to be with you, to comfort you, never thinking about themselves.
As long as she's happy up there, that's all that matters to me right now.
Extremely.
Mhm. Although I just wish the guilt would go away, but sorry.
It's okay. It's one of those things, Just realize the ideal where it's based at. You're feeling guilty and mad at yourself. And you feel you should have done something. And the person that you thought you might have offended or hurt in some way, you didn't.
Yeah. It's just, I did spend a lot of time with her before she went, because I never left her side, in the hospice. But
yeah.
I'm a twin, and I feel like my sister goes again. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're fine.
I'll have to call you again.
No, you're welcome.
I'm sorry.
Well, if you feel better about the whole thing, you give me a call. We can talk about it later.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Just go on to area code 386. How are you? Welcome to the show. And what's your name?
Hi, this is Sheena from Florida.
This is who?
Sheena from Florida.
Gina, how are you?
Hi.
Have you called before?
Yes. I usually call almost every week, listening in on the show, support the show. I actually do have a question tonight, though, too. Something that's been weighing really heavy on me lately. I've been having like a lot of family problems. And, it's mainly with my father's side of the family. It just never really have anything positive to say. He always has negative things to say about me, like they really can't stand me, and it's very emotionally draining, and they suck my dad into it, like he's just been very nasty towards me, and I just want to see what you get on as far as, you know, what their issue is with me, period, you know. I just kind of want to get a crystal clear, you know, understanding of, you know, their issue with me. I never really, understood, like, why it seems like they hate me, you know. Like, always have something to say about me, and, you know, it's just, it was really heavy on me this weekend because I was hanging out, it was my daughter who was celebrating my daughter's birthday, and it was my dad's girlfriend's birthday, and me and my dad's girlfriend is really kind of close. I think we talked about her the last time I was on the show, but they had came to her and was sort of like, you know, trying to say, tell her, you know, bad things about me, and it wasn't really true, the truth. And but basically, they, you know, they were, because they have, you know, bad things to say about me, they wanted to try to convince her that I wasn't such a good person. And I'm just like, what, you know, what are their motives? And I just really, you know, just trying to understand what their issue is with me, period, so I can, you know, kind of release it and let it go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing I fear the most for the situation is the idea of jealousy. I keep getting traced down to the bottom line. That's what I keep picking up on. I keep getting just jealousy, and the idea of denouncing you also makes them feel better because they don't feel good about themselves. Focus on Archangel. Let's focus on the Archangel. Archangel Chamel. I said this right. Shamuel. Archangel Shamuel. Now, this is the angel. It says, beloved one, I'm helping you with your spiritual soulmate relationship. I look at the situation, relationships in general, of actually being something more. Love is in and around you right now. You don't need to search for it. Rather, by holding loving thought and conducting loving action, you attract and manifest love in all aspects of your life. So by saying that in a situation, this is what's supposed to be happening. So it's the idea of looking at the people around you and then calling upon the angels to guide your thoughts and actions, to bring romance into your life. But also, we also talk about loving relationships, okay? So it's like converse with the angels regularly about your love life, but not just with a relationship. It's the idea of relationships. They can help you fall in love. Help you fall in love with your life. But usually, when the process of falling in love with your life, you'll heal. You'll manifest a wonderful relationships and a life for yourself. But you're gonna have people around you all the time who are gonna sit here and go, they haven't taken the chance. Their perceptions are still the same as they was before when you were having a problem with them. They're gonna come to you and they're gonna sit there and go, okay, you know, we don't like this because you're doing things, you're changing your life, you're happy. And we refuse to look at our problems, our situation. We refuse to change. So therefore, you're going to have to stay right here. So you can't change. So you're going to always interfere with that. It's a jealousy of you doing what you want to do and do certain things in your life. They just haven't got to the point of doing that yet. But you've got to still be true to yourself. And what you need to do is start filtering out people and say, okay, if they continue to do what they're doing, then no more association. People don't understand this. You can still be a loving, caring person and still love and respect those people for who they are. And since they're not doing that with you or to you, doesn't mean you have to keep associating yourself with those people no matter what. And a lot of us have a tendency to use excuses of family and friends and that kind of stuff to keep people who are abusive or who are not supportive in any kind of shape or form. We have a tendency to keep them in the midst because we think if we don't, we're not loving, caring people, not realizing right at that moment. That's a real realization that you are being a loving, caring person. You're being loving, respectful to yourself, and you're hoping that one day they'll do the same. So you take yourself out of the picture.
Right.
How much it bothers you. And you know for a fact, and the point, I've seen people that you know, hurts me to separate myself from this friend. That's just a realization. You know what they're all about, and you know this is what you got to do. You don't want to do it, and you would hope that they would change too, so you wouldn't have to, but realistically, it's their choice to remain, and you chose to move, you know, you chose to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You have to respect yourself. No, they're going to sit there and stagnate. That's their decision, and they've also made a decision not to be a part of your life because you've chosen to not do it. I'm going to be happy, abundant, and prosperous. Whatever you've chosen to do, they haven't gone along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to do that. It's a sign of jealousy. Because this is what, I guess to say, feeding their own lack of education. That makes sense, don't it?
Yeah, it makes sense. And I was going to add to that by saying, you know, I started to, you know, forget who I was and, you know, say, well, am I really that person? Because to be honest, you know, not a lot of people say too many positive things about me, and you know, unless they're really happy with themselves. And lately, that's what's been going on. And I'm wondering what the lesson is. You know, it's, I guess the lesson is to just learn to know who I am. But I started to feel like, well, maybe I am a bad person because all these people have such, you know, negative things to say about me. And I was kind of, you know, worried about my dad's girlfriend, but, you know, with her saying, well, dang, you know, all of these people can't be just, you know, making up these things about her. She probably really is a bad person. And, you know, she kind of hangs in there with me, and I think she had sense enough to she says to me that she doesn't believe that, you know, I'm a bad person, and she sees why I don't want to be, you know, fooled around with them, and, you know. But I have a brother, too, you know, and he, I'm trying to understand his aspect of it, because not that he has mean things to say about me, but, you know, he really doesn't have anything nice to say, and I think with him, it's just that he doesn't understand me. You know, we don't even, he has, you know, I have kids, I have a daughter, and he has a son, and it's like, you know, we're not even close at all. I barely even see my nephew. He barely even makes the effort to, you know, be close to his niece. You know what I mean? So it's like, I'm trying to understand him, too. Like, why does he think this way about me? Like, what have I done to him? You know.
Mm-hmm.
We have the same parents and everything. So it's like he's my, you know, full-blood brother. And, you know, he almost acts as if he can't stand me.
Oh, well, you know, there's still realizations with oneself.
I'm sorry, I can't. And you sound like a little muffled.
No, I was sitting there saying, I was trying to focus, and I was like freaking out because of, there's a lot of noise in the background with you too. I can't hear.
Okay, I can change that, Lenny. I know how annoying that could be. Okay. Is that better?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Okay.
No, I was saying the situation you're talking about, the people that act like they don't like you and that kind of stuff, it's just people dealing with themselves. You're reflecting back at something to them that they're not ready to deal with yet, so you shouldn't really worry about the whole thing.
Okay.
Because when you sit there and focus and be pulled in the whole thing, then you're taking away from yourself and what you need to be true to yourself. So it's the idea of asking yourself. I'm not saying you shouldn't sit back and look and ask yourself the same thing about being a bad person or not being a bad person.
Right, that's my only thing. I was just, you know, trying to figure out, well, is it something, is it something I need to change? Because I'm always willing to work on self, and that's you know, the thing that I can say is I'm willing to work on myself. But as far as my brother, I just really want to understand, does he hate me? Or what is, you know, I don't understand.
Well, yeah, no problem. No, I'm just saying, sometimes when you don't understand, a lot of us don't understand, we don't need to.
Right,
it's just a reflection to look at ourselves to actually see ourselves. Because when we get confused about something we see in somebody else, it's the idea of looking at ourselves and realizing what that section is, what that is, a part of us. Because you're saying this person is not talking to them like that, and the actions and things are going on with that whole thing, and you don't understand, I'm confused, why is he doing that? Well, if you go within yourself, to see maybe it's something you need to confront, then you'll see why that person is treating you the way they do. Because it's something they don't want to look at either. But if you look at it, you'll understand it more, you'll understand more about yourself. So you understand why this person is treating you the way. Like we said before, we have relationships and people love each other. Really strong love, they deeply love each other. It's just, this is the one. And then they have a tendency to start making excuses to get away from it. But if you simply look at it for what it is, look at yourself and say, okay, from the conclusion, I really do love myself. I really did love this person, and you just radiation of love. You're just glowing with it, and you know. I just feel like it's mutual on the other side. It's just the other person hasn't come to that realization yet. So the confusion part is, if it was what it was, why did they leave? Well, once we understand why they didn't accept it for what it was, and then they saw it. They saw the truth. They just wasn't ready to accept it. So therefore, in the process of accepting the truth that someone could actually love them, it's a reflection to them that they don't love themselves. There's something about the situation they don't like themselves. And it could be that they don't think they should like themselves because they've been either a bad person or they've done some things in the past that they're not proud of and maybe feeling guilty too as well. But once it's a realization that somebody loves you just for who you are, sometimes it can be overwhelming to the point where understand what's going on, is that they're not accepting it. That's why you feel confused. But once you understand, exactly what it was, and you understand that person, the reason they didn't accept it, because they can't accept that someone would actually love them, so therefore they don't love themselves as much. The realization all kind of love. When somebody say they don't love themselves, I think they do love themselves. It's just they have to come to the realization that they do, and it's okay, no matter what you did in the past. Because you come to this point, and somebody loves you. So in the process of someone loving you, it should make it easier for you to love yourself and realize that you too deserve to be loved and someone who does.
Right.
So when we get this kind of craziness, so do we have to sit here and try to figure it out? No, we just need to look within ourselves to see the truth about ourselves. So therefore we see the truth about everything else and them. Mm-hmm. Some people look at this. I saw a situation too. I was sitting there looking going, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know how this person feels. You know, and I know why they're acting the way they do. The most helpless part about the whole thing is, what do you do? Or what can you do? And then you find out there's nothing you can do.
In the future, I really would like to, because I don't understand my brother either, and I really would like to, you know, have a good relationship, because most of the time when it's just you and, you know, it's just too, like, I feel like he's my only brother, I'm his only sister, and most of the time, you know, you want to get along, you know, being that you're the only two children raised in the same household. Of course, my dad had other kids, but we were the only one that had the same mom and dad, and so therefore, it's like I expect to have a closer relationship. Do you see that happen? You know, and I figured maybe when we get older, that it would happen. You know, so, I mean, do you see that changing and just staying awkward all the time?
No, I actually see it changing. Oh, yeah, I definitely see it changing.
What's going to bring about that change?
What is today? The 10th?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. No, the situation you're talking about, a lot of things are going to change. I don't really have the specifics about the whole thing of changing this, that, and the other. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's one of those things of things unfolding.
Okay.
You know, so when things unfold, and that kind of stuff, it's something you need to live. So sometimes, I think it's the hardest thing about where I try not to just do readings, but the idea of more on the level of answers and advice. I just feel like this, because you're sitting there saying, you know, it's always going to be this way, and I get the impression that it's not, and I get the impression of it changing really very quickly. But I just guess we've said the other way, I tell a lot of people this, is you just sit there and do this one thing, where you just sit there and ask God, and he says, how do you love and respect us for who they are? You'll get it. It might take a little bit longer, but again, it's one of those things of sticking to it.
Right.
Telling yourself, I want to be a truly loving person. So therefore, to be that truly loving person, then we just continue to do what we do. Because realistically, I was like when I tell people about relationships. So there's nothing, just because you're not together, there's nothing you should do to change yourself. Because I guarantee you, what brought you together in the first place, everything goes full circle. And that's what we're saying with the situation here too as well. Okay.
Yes. So, I just had a question in my mind, but it escaped me. Dang it.
Mm-hmm.
I just forgot all of.
That can drive you crazy when you want to say something and that just slips.
Right, I had a brain fart. Like, okay, it'll come to me in a minute. But I also wanted to see what the angels see as far as money coming in or whatever.
Okay, ask the question one more time. I think I know what you said.
Okay, what the angels have to say about money coming in? Do they see money?
That's when you saw it before, too. It was like the Archangel Ariel, be courageous and stand up for what you believe. Stand up for your beliefs. And tell yourself in the situation, you need to act upon your conviction, even if others disagree, which you have a lot of that going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm protecting, like Archangel Ariel says, I'm protecting you from harm, in guiding you to be a loving warrior of light. Because we're also talking about this reflection, but also the situation that we reflect to everybody who crosses our path. And you try to get to them, and I feel like it's kind of crazy when some people will leave you messages and then say, you can't respond to me.
Mm.
It's like they just want to see one side of the story because that's what they're going to stick to. That
right.
tells me like it's you at the same time. They also see the other side of it too. That's what they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear any other aspects of the situation. Like for example, if there was a relationship, I have a friend who intervenes and says something to that person to make them go away. If it's not the person that you were dating in the first place, and it's a friend telling you these things, the reason that, because a lot of people sit there going, "You should respect me. I'm helping my friend out." Whoopie freaking do, I don't. Because you're stepping in the shoes that you don't belong to be in, and the person that you're actually doing it for should be the one who's confronting this, not you, because that's what it's all about.
I'm kind of lost because I asked about, I don't know if you thought I asked about a romance, but I was kind of asking about finances.
That's true, sweetie, but see, the idea of changing anything in your life is the idea of following your heart and which way you should
okay.
go. I'm using the example of relationships, and people have a tendency to be distracting. And like I'm saying with you, we use the relationship as an example because what you're being subjected to. It might actually divert you from doing what you need to do. What's the idea of friends, family? It doesn't matter what it is. I'm just saying with your situation, for finances to turn around, there has to be certain things of changing, not just with relationships with the people you have.
But then again, that's part of it too.
Because what I see happening is that in a month and a half, I feel like my finances are going to turn around as long as you put people in their places or filter them out or put them to the side and favor what you've got to do. Because like this, for example, we have a tendency to get in relationships and say, okay, we don't get so responsible. I do believe that if we're in relationships that have a tendency to get to the point where we're getting fearful that we have to do certain things, we have a tendency to X out opportunities for finding when we're trying to deal with people around us and we kind of say before.
Right.
We're just trying to say, be true to yourself or where you think you should go. Because it's amazing how many people you tell to go do what you love to do or at least find something that you can really feel good about yourself to do. Then all of a sudden their financial problems go away because they start realizing their potential and they let go of the limitations that were holding back in the first place. And because I've seen people do that. I've seen people who think they want to win the lottery. I've seen people win the lottery. It seems like it puts them in more debt because they still have a mentality of poverty. They keep thinking of being poor. So what happens is their thinking has a tendency to manifest opportunities and situations just for that, to get back into debt again. Until you change your mind, your focus, and not allow people around you to change that perception too, that you're going to do exactly what you want to do. But there's a lot of people around them. I'm saying, no, think about what you're talking about. You're talking about focusing on how people are treating you, and it seems to take a lot of your time.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I can't allow them to be a distraction because Lord knows I want my blessing and I need my blessings, and I don't, need for them to distract me. And I think that that's just exactly why it's going on right now because,
Friends could be your worst enemy. Friends and family could be your worst enemy because they have a tendency, because of certain positions or people known for so long and they've been around your life for a long time, we have a tendency to let down our guards.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, you can look at the situation of saying, okay, there's things going on you just need to watch for.
Yeah.
And then when you see them, it's like you're on the highway. Someone throws a cage of chickens out in front of you.
Yeah.
You didn't know what's going to happen. But
But going back to you saying me doing what I want to do, I always figured that my certain people in my family or whatever had an issue with me because I did always did what I wanted to do and they have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of, what they think and how they feel and, how some people, they just try to say things and do things as a way to try to control your actions and say, well, you need to change, you don't need to be that way or you don't need to do this or you need to do that. And I always kind of did what I wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
Whether good or bad, but, I marched to the beat of my own drum. So, therefore, if I mess up, I don't have anybody to blame but myself. And I just always think that they just had a feel, had a problem with me just doing what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, some people are jealous of people who just do what they want to do. Because they never have been, and they want to sit there and put in a position of responsibility or the right thing to do. I mean, I've heard this one a couple of times where, like relationships or something like that, they feel like they have to do certain things and this is the right thing to do. When actually what the right thing to do is for one person to face their fears or why they're thinking that in the first place or why they reacted the way they did. And then in jobs, people go out and say, okay, I don't like this job anymore. I feel like I'm being taken advantage of whatever. They just quit and go on. And there's people around you who sit and go, that's crazy. I've heard this so many times where people go, you're making this amount of money, you're doing this and then you quit that job. Yeah, like you're right. Why did I quit that job? It's the last one in the world, isn't it?
Right.
No, it's not. It's not. It's the ideal. You leave a job just the way you came in, looking for a job. Or some people have a tendency to be really good about the whole thing, and I've seen this too, where people quit jobs to go to other jobs, and they're like, why are you doing that for, This one here, you're going to start a new job, which might not work out, and blah, blah, blah. People start thinking the worst case.
Yeah, it's like, why do you even care it's not going to affect you. So why do you even care about if I'm quitting a job or whatever else? That's how I always just thought, And I really don't feel like it's an immature way of thinking. I actually feel like it's a very adult way of thinking, because it's like, okay, I'm just, why do you care? I'm taking responsibility for my own actions, and don't try to tell me what to do, and don't try to tell me it's wrong. But, you know, I have just issues with my dad doing that or whatever, and he just doesn't like the way I'm doing things right now, and, you know, blah, 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 and on and on and on, and I'm like, I don't even care, you know, just, I don't try to be disrespectful, but he's been dishing out a lot of hate lately, and I just told him it's because you're unhappy with yourself right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love you, and I will always love you unconditionally, regardless of, you know, what type of parent I thought you were or should have been. But excuse me, let me do me, let me live my life, and, you know, mm-hmm. you should be on my side. When somebody has something terrible to say about your daughter, you should be on my side, instead of saying, oh, well, maybe those things are true, or they said it for a reason.
Oh, no. The dog is going crazy. I'm just saying I was just in the situation, everything's going on, that you need to, go with the flow. Can you do it?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear that. Can you say that again?
Oh, yeah, I do. You know what to do. So you just need to go with the flow, and then when you get in these situations, always make sure you follow through with exactly what you know you need to follow through with.
Right. Okay. I have just one last question, and it actually is about romance.
Mm-hmm.
Help me out a little. If you see someone coming soon.
Okay. Well, I was talking about the Archangel Samuel. That's actually the angel of love in relationships. That was actually one. It was like, okay. Yeah, the one with Archangel Samuel. Your life purpose is triggering a blessed career change in your life. Your prayers for help, which your career been answered. It's now occurring. It's just the idea of keeping your eyes open. Sometimes change is perceived as, you know, being stressful, yet the angel is helping you to clear the old from your life to make way for the new. So pay close attention to your repetitive ideals, dreams, and visions, and follow through with them.
Okay.
These are divinely inspired roadmaps pointing the way along your desired path. You may not see the entire road or where it's leading, but most of us, when we're in a car, when it's dark, we only see 200 feet. If we could have that kind of confidence with our lives to keep going and going, we get to where we want to be. Because it says something about the idea of Archangel Samuel. The name means he who sees God. His ability to see clearly helps you to find things, situations, and people. He's renowned for helping people find the career that best suits their purpose and passion. Call upon him as your career counselor often, but also with the situation. I've seen him work with relationships very much, and it can drive you crazy, believe me. But what it says is the ideal of seeing the truth is getting past all the craziness to realize what's going on in your life right now is the idea of not being with somebody. It's just simply saying that the reason you're not with somebody right now is the ideal. It's in the works. It's coming. It's just the idea of opening yourself up to the possibilities. Whew. Why do I feel hungry? Anyway, it's been a long and wide. See, we've got relationship harmony. That's Archangel Raguel. That's actually spelled R-A-G-U-E-L. We angels are helping the hearts of everyone involved. Arguments, conflicts are being resolved now. So that's a situation with your help. It's also saying your prayers for personal peace have been answered, so they're coming to come past too as well. And then it talks about in the situation of Archangel Michael, you are a powerful, loving, and creative child of God. You are very loved. So remember who you are and exactly what you can do. You are made in the image and likeness of the Creator. So
So you embody the aspects of all those qualities. So therefore, you utilize them. Sometimes it's really long. Long and winding. I was looking at
why. The person, the love that's coming, is it an old? Is it someone coming that I know?
New love.
New love.
It says a new chapter in your love life begins, whether it is with a new partner or rekindled love in a current relationship. And since you're not in a relationship, I'll go through the first part. It talks about the ideal. Since things are already starting to happen with the idea of opening your heart to a new infusion of divine love through a partner in life. That means basically make room for someone in your life too as well. I always tell people, quit sleeping in the middle of bed, start sleeping on the side, make room in your garage, make room in your closet. It's just the ideal, the anticipation too. The angels are preparing you to be aware of new people entering your life as a new mate, maybe in the light. Your previous partner. And please, I always tell people, if you're really centered on all this craziness too, and you're calling in, I want something new. I'm tired of relationships I've had. I want to live the life I know I'm supposed to. I want to have the relationship that I know I'm supposed to have. I want what is supposed to be the real, look past the illusion, the truth. And if that's the case, then the person you're going to be calling in is definitely going to be someone that you're not accustomed to, as in characteristics and those kind of things. It's going to be something different, totally different. So it's like looking at like the previous partner. Be open to change. Be open to changes in your current relationship if you're already in one. And don't cling tightly to the idea of how you think relationships should be. This is a time of wondrous changes in your love life. And you are asked to trust God and your guardian angels to work things out for the highest good. Change in your love life will only be painful if you are rigid in your thoughts and behavior. If you follow with the current of love, you'll find the old parts of your life, your love life, wash away. They are rapidly replaced by new aspects that will delight you. Current relationships may end, or they may act as a transition into a new phase of passion and renewed love, or a new partner may enter your life, inspiring great happiness for both of you. So it's the idea of looking for, I always tell people, if you sit here and start hearing those things, don't ask the question, is it going to be something different? I've had people ask me this so many times. I see this person coming in. The angels are saying the relationship's going to happen. And then they come back and say, well, is it going to be a good one? Yeah, you're right. The angels are going to be, they're going to bring you a bad one.
Okay.
So it says, because I was one thing here. It says, if you are a person that's in a current relationship with wonders, it's the idea of not clinging too tight. But it's also saying, to ideals of how you think relationships should be, because it's going to be different. I just had this too. I was in a relationship where I was constantly being reminded there's proper ways to do things. There's things to do this. There's things to do that. And I was constantly saying, why can't we just go with the flow and let it take us where it's going to take us? Because love will always do that. This dictation is a human side. It's a human thing.
Mm-hmm.
Spirituality will always take you down the path where all the things you've always wanted, that's the point of finding the right path or letting yourself be led with the guidance that comes to you, that you'll be going and doing just those things with the right partner. So it's the ideal. Don't dictate how relationships are supposed to go, because I've always said that relationships are like pregnancies. They're all different.
Right.
So when you make a vow and say, okay, I want a new life and I want a relationship the way I see relationships. And you have this vision in your mind of what it is. Don't let the old visions of what you've lived cloud that and keep it from happening. And that's the point. As I sit here and say, someone coming in your life anytime soon, they're talking about taking an inventory of yourself. And usually when I get that kind of interaction, that means a relationship's coming and they're preparing you for it. All right. I also look at the situation of soulmate relationships in general, and I wish I had this, because I saw the new love. It also says remain playful. Also, power. The key here is power. You now allow yourself to express your power. Don't be scared of exactly what you can create. God's giving you that That's what I'm saying. God has given you the ability to do just that. So I have a soulmate card, which I would say was, I know this other deck I saw, it's actually referred to as twin flame. Your prayers for a soulmate relationship is answered. Follow the guidance that you receive so that you may enjoy this gift of divine love. Your heart yearns for a big love. Since you are on the spiritual path, you desire a partner with a similar philosophy and common interests. Can you have great passion and spiritual companionship with the same person? Yeah, this here says the card confirms that the answer is yes. By drawing this card, your angels ask you to trust in and follow their lead. Your angels have heard your prayers for a great love, and they guide you to take the steps to manifest this desire. If you are in a current relationship, your angels ask you to release this partnership to them. In that way, they can help elevate your relationship to a soulmate that's why I always went twin flames. Twin flames, these are same soulmate. To soulmate level, or help you to gently end it so that your new love may appear. Either way, they will closely assist you and give you clear steps to take. So you have to do it. And see, the one thing, you have two cards. You have soulmate, and then you have spiritual growth. By following your heart and realizing what you need to, there's a lot of spiritual growth with that too as well.
Wow, that's beautiful. So everything, all the cards that I've, you know, received are pretty much good. And as I get, you know, the blessings are coming, they're here right now. I'm just not seeing them. But, you know, one thing that I have noticed that's been going on in my life, and that has been every time I express a want or a need, it manifests really fast.
Yeah, that's what I was telling tonight, too. I said the reason relationships, when you get in a really good one, go so fast is because you're not thinking about it. You're spontaneously leading yourself where you think you should go. And a lot of people start looking for excuses and say, okay, you know, I follow my heart. I truly fell in love with this person, but then I ran a phone bill sky high. So it couldn't be good. It must not be right. It must not be, I'm not meant to be with this person because I made a mistake. And then they start getting mad at themselves because they followed their heart. They don't realize that in the situation, the reason you did that is because of the connection that you have between each other, that it was so strong that you wasn't willing to give it up for even a minute. So therefore, you made calls and talked and that kind of thing, not realizing it's just a freaking phone bill. So therefore, the idea of manifesting this relationship, you can also manifest the money to pay that bill off, to realize in the process of manifesting the perfect relationship you wanted, then you can find the perfect solution to get yourself out of debt too. And usually, a lot of times, it takes two people to do that. And when you get two people to come together in a great relationship, manifesting solutions for issues and giving yourself and things like that, you get yourself out of them quicker. But sometimes people don't let it go that far. And you're just like, if you just would have, like, gone with the flow, you would have been amazed exactly what could have happened with the idea of manifestations of so many things that you would have started understanding why you need to go with the flow and make the decision to do what you want.
Right.
Even when even the idea of a debt of a phone bill or, you know, anything. In the process of pursuing a relationship, it's just, you know, you're just basically making a decision what's more important to you. And at that point, money wasn't an issue. And what was really the most important thing to you was that person.
Right.
You could also do the same thing with careers. I mean, you get an opportunity to move clear across the country because of the job prospect that you got, job opportunity. It's already been put in your lap, and all you got to do is pack up your shit, your stuff, go across country to have the career, to have the money, to have all the things that you've ever wanted. And that's all you got to do is just pack up and go to the other side of the country, accept that job, and things are going to change for you. But a lot of people will sit there and go, "Why am I?" They'll use excuses as in responsibility. I can't take my family to go across country. What would they think? Well, I tell you this, buddy: if you go across country and you get the exact income that you want, I guarantee they'll be thanking you later. Oh yeah, we traveled for like 3 days to get there, but once that happened, and all of a sudden the things they've always wanted, because now the parent can actually give it to them, I guarantee you, They'll all see it. They don't see it at the moment. But see, I also tell people with kids, why do we have parents? Because they're the ones that are supposed to be making the decisions, not the children.
Right.
What would my kid think if I did this? Well, you probably not. Sometimes they don't like it. Sometimes they will. But the point is, you're trying to do what's best for everybody, because that's what you're supposed to do. So if you don't do that, you're not being true to yourself. So therefore, taking that little travel across country, you're doing an injustice to yourself, but you're also doing an injustice to everybody else concerned, because that's the solution. That's the answer, and you're not taking it. And same thing with relationships. If you're in a relationship and you know, for beyond a shadow of doubt, you love this person, but you do everything to get away from that person because friends, family, whatever it is, you walked away. Then it's like looking at people going, okay, you could have had the relationship you've always wanted to have in your whole freaking life. What happened? Well, I wasn't too sure. Oh, okay. Why wasn't you too sure? Well, because it was just too real. Or it was just something to you. And you look at the person going, okay. Sometimes you look at people and go, okay, you have so many freaking things in your life, okay? For example, I was sitting today looking at this girl I was with, and she was like, signs. Look at signs that only contribute to me and you. What are they? I never saw them where I should have, where I was like, we were looking at initials. Okay, my initials at the time, my initials are RD. Actually, they're DR, sorry. DR, and her initials are RD. They're identical, but they're reversed. And then if you take the middle name and put it in there, her initials are RLD. And I was sitting there going, if you take that, it says R loves D, and D loves R. Okay? You don't get that with everybody. Not everybody has the same initials. And I sat there and said, we're going to take it one step further. My initials are sitting there saying R is good for D, and D is good for R. And that's our middle initial. So you see all these things that are going on that we have to see. It's the same thing when if we don't pay attention to those things, because people say that's silly, that's too romantic, then we're not listening to ourselves. We're listening to everybody else. It's the same thing with your job and stuff. And the reason I keep saying that to you about jobs and stuff, because it's like, in order to honor yourself, you really have to find out what you really want to do and make that happen. And then finances will all change. And a lot of us do that. We see, okay, I want to do this, and I feel like I could really do this. But everybody else starts putting all this pressure on me. I get this all the time. So it's not with relationships. I get this with everyone. But it's like, okay, you can't go out and do what you want to do with your life because you have responsibilities. Well, see, responsibilities were actually created by humans in the process of eating that freaking fruit on the tree when it was in the garden. Because there was no such things as responsibilities, because in the garden, who was taking care of Adam and Eve? God supplied everything for them. Well, what people don't realize is he still is. It's just your responsibility, if you want to take it that way, to open your eyes and see it. And look at the situation, how the world really works. As long as human beings don't have control over it. Birds never starve to death. But when humans take care of cows, the real cows, if they neglect those cows and don't feed them, what happens? If they have them in a barn caged up and they don't feed them, they die. But when they're out in nature, no creature starves. Even if they got to eat grass for 2 or 3 weeks, they still find a solution to move forward and to live. If we could just use that one example with our own selves, instead of looking at limitations and looking at, maybe I'm looking at it wrong. I'm looking at it in a limiting way. But I think the only way I'm ever going to get the finances I need is to work for somebody or to have a job, when realistically manifestations happen all the time. I had an apartment full of furniture to prove it. I never paid a dime for anything in that apartment except for the wiring I put on my freaking stereo that someone had given to me for doing work for them. So you see, the situation was something I never realized until after the fact, but it did happen. And I remember what I said. I just would say things every day and mean them. I didn't put anything out there and say, well, as soon as I get a certain paycheck that comes in, I'll buy a bed. I just said, universe, I need a bed. I like to have a new one. Stay on the plastic and everything. And then 2 days later, my landlord comes upstairs. So we just got all these beds in. Would you like to have one? And it was still in the plastic. And I was like, see, the sign was the love I put out there when I did that always told me if you put the love out there, it'll attract everything you want to you. Okay, so I put it out there. Love to have a bed. And next thing I know, 2 days later, I had a bed. I'd love to have a computer desk. 2 days later, I had a computer desk. One day, well, actually, what happened on that one was he came upstairs and he actually had an end table and a computer desk. And he said, which one would you like? And a little voice came in my head and said, he really doesn't want to take it back downstairs. So once you ask him for both of them, he'll actually see as he won't see you as being a greedy person. He'll also see your person helping him out because he won't have to carry it back downstairs because he was going up and down the stairs all the time. I just looked at him and said, I'd like to have both of them. He goes, okay, cool. It saves me from dragging this thing around. And I got it just that easy. So see, if I would have put on the top of the whole thing, I can't be in a relationship. And so I'm happy. Well, I'll get happy. Say, I would love to be in a relationship. Or if there's a certain person you'd like to be with, say, I would love for Ruth to come back to my life and be my significant other. Or, well, no, your guy's not. His name's not Ruth. I'm just saying. Just an example. Say, put it out there and say, I would love. Because I remember when I got that first apartment up there, too. I was just standing there saying, I would love to have this apartment. Because I actually had the apartment the same way, too. It wasn't given to me completely, but I actually had that apartment before I actually had the rent for it for almost 2 months. Okay.
I have a scenario that I had wanted to ask you when you were going back to when you were saying you could, you know, missed out on a really good relationship or whatever if you, you know, don't go with the flow. I have a scenario where that had happened to me, and I think that I moved forward with the relationship because, you know, I wasn't sure and everything. And so now this person, you know, I want to reconnect back with this person again. So I was wondering if you see, you know, I guess the past doesn't matter of how it could have turned out. But when you, you know, us reconnecting or whatever, do you have to see it happening? You know, I just had, because he was a very handsome young man, and he was also 2 years younger than me. And I wasn't used to dating, you know, someone 2 years younger than me. And the fact that he was handsome, he just had, you know, probably had women, you know, lined up. So, you know, I wanted to, you know, what you see happening with us, you know, reconnecting since I, you know, wasn't sure the first time.
Okay. No, what I was going to say was the situation you're talking about and that kind of thing. I really have to go, but...
Okay.
Yeah, I get the impression that you guys will definitely cross paths, but I just don't really get a strong feeling about getting back together. I get the impression it's more where he's at than where you're at, but it's also the ideal since you are there. See it for what it is. Paths crossing doesn't always mean cross paths merging. It's just the ideal crossing paths to see things for what they are at that moment. So, like I said before, that's what I see in front of running out of time. They're going to cut us off anyway. So I'd love to sit down and do a reading for you. So give me a call and see what we can do, okay?
Okay.
But don't look at the situation. Don't look at anything as bad. If it doesn't happen, that just means something better is for you.
Right.
Okay.
Well, good night. Have a good night. And hopefully I'll talk to you again soon.
Okay.
All right.
If you want to get a reading, just, you know, whatever you got, man, just bring it to the table and we'll see what you can do, okay?
Okay.
All righty. You have a great night.
You too.
Love you, man.